Tonight, Pretty Late is back downstate as Patty checks in with a couple representatives in the Capitol. Then later, Dr. Daphne Scott is in studio to help us feel the positivity. And finally, we sat down with some of our favorite Marines last week for another Semper film. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, man, I am. I am in the bowels. Is that, that's sort of a weird way to put it, in the bowels of a building, but I mean, people
the
say
guts.
That. Oh, I like that better. I'm in the guts of the Capitol. I'm in the basement. I'm in the foundation. There's some really old bricks down here. I mean, like, they're in the walls, but you can feel the history down here, and you can feel that nothing's really happening. I don't know if anything's going to happen tomorrow. I was told not to come down to Springfield yesterday, Tuesday. I got a phone call. Hey, we hear you coming down. Don't bother. Nothing's going to happen. Just a couple things, and we're going to turn around and go home. So much so, Craig, that a lot of the legislators, I believe, did not even pack a change of clothes. That's how confident some of them were that they were not going to be staying the night. Some of them did know. Apparently an email was sent out and not everybody got it. That would stink.
Did only one side get it?
That would be interesting if it was just one, sort of faction of of all the legislators. So they apparently have in their work groups come to some sort of an agreement to actually increase some of the spending for money and for education. And I think that's also coming from the governor's office. So that was kind of big news today, to fund MAP grants to increase spending for schools that are that serve children who are stressed economically. And I wonder if that's so that, and that makes sense to me, because we talk a lot about how Chicago is mismanaged, and you know they've been going for decades without any sort of accountability, and why should the state pay for them? And there are kids who are completely disadvantaged socially, economically, and in neighborhoods that are in complete despair. And we do have to, you know, also address that there are kids all over the state that are in challenged and disadvantaged neighborhoods. So maybe that's one way to make sure that kids, the most important part are the kids who need it the most. And also social services will be funded, according to some of the sources. I'm saying sources now, Craig, in a weird way.
No, that was good. That was a good way. That was interesting.
Sources tell me. So that's what's going on so far. We are they are scheduled to come back to the floor of the House and the Senate at 8:30 a.m. I've heard that they will probably then caucus for about an hour, and around 9:30 a.m. we should start hearing some discussion as to what the budget entails. And we'll see. That could take a long time because, you know, there's going to be a lot of kind of going over things, hopefully with a fine tooth comb, and that they should be doing that. So it's exciting.
That's exciting.
Is it exciting?
Well, to get a budget and stuff is all that's all exciting, right?
I have to tell you, Craig, I kind of wondered when they were very eager for me to leave Chicago when we talked. I mean, like, didn't you get that sense of like it's also kind of a timeout? Like,
yeah.
Just go. We'll give you the van. Here, take my car.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. Just go.
Yeah.
So I was just like, okay, I don't. It's 5 o'clock. I don't know if I'm going to make it.
You nailed
my showtime. Craig, I had to. It was 5 o'clock when we were on the phone last, right? Maybe like 4:35.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And so it's now 11, and so I had I had 5.5 hours to make a 3.5 hour drive,
right,
with rush hour traffic.
Did you drive aggressively with the fan van? Because that would be kind of awesome to see.
They didn't have the fan van available.
Oh, no.
It was on location somewhere else.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. So right. I ended up having – so first I had to rent a car. Then I had to go home and make sure I had my essentials. I don't know what your essentials are, but mine apparently needs a roller bag. For it's not
just the mandatory stuff.
Yes, just the mandatory
stuff. One full suitcase.
How long are you there?
I don't know. I might be here till – I haven't decided yet, depending on how tomorrow goes. If they go all day, I might end up staying and coming home Friday.
Got it. Then that allows the rolly bag.
Thank you. You can judge. It's totally. Plus, when you're in a hurry and you're like, I don't know what the weather's like. I don't know who I'm gonna see, where I'm gonna go, what I'm gonna do.
Did you bring a coat?
I brought a jacket and a sweat jacket. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then I had to stop at the station for the broadcasting equipment. So I had to drive into the city in rush hour traffic at 6 o'clock.
Oh my God.
And it was a little stressful. It was a little stressful. Although, great. It's, you know, it's been a while since I've just been on a bit of a road trip listening to interviews. Like, I listen to WGN all the time. But Justin had this great interview with Sharna Halpern. And anybody who's just tuning in now, if you had a chance. Not right now. Don't go to the podcast now. You can stay here. It would be weird if you played both, the podcast and our show. That would be strange. But it was a great interview that I heard about the history of I.O. in Chicago. And so that was really – it kind of took the time. You know, it was made the drive very easy. Ooh, I stopped at a Dairy Queen, which I haven't done in years.
Oh, my God. Did you get food, not just, like, ice cream?
I got a chocolate shake.
Okay. They have a great chicken strip basket.
I got a grilled chicken sandwich.
Oh, nice.
Which was pretty good. Yeah, it was pretty good.
I've been craving a Dilly Bar.
Excuse me?
For days.
God, I love Dilly Bars.
Okay, cherry. This sounds like last night's show, people.
No, it's
not. What just happened.
No. It's what's cherry is your
what's
favorite?
Dilly Bar?
Yeah, it's
what's
just the dipped vanilla ice cream.
Right.
On a stick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like an ice cream bar.
So is it like a shell? Like is a dilly?
Yes.
Is it,
yeah.
Okay. So it like hardens.
Right. And they have chocolate ones, and I like the cherry.
Oh, I've never had a Dilly Bar.
They're delicious.
They have the other like ice pop things that are the star. Where I don't know what those are called, but those are not ice cream. Those are something else, and they're also delicious.
Interesting. Hey, did I'm gonna try on the road back, on the road trip back. I promise to stop for a Dilly Bar
and bring me one
and a chicken strip basket.
Get you. These seem like things that will not travel well.
That's
no,
okay.
Well, I don't want one. I can't.
No,
eat
I
those
want one
anymore. So
I'll eat his.
I have to get a. I have to get that frozen ice like that. Like a you know the. I have to get some sort of cooler.
Whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll make that happen for you.
Esmeralda, you are aware there are Dairy Queens in Chicago, right?
Shh, be quiet.
Okay. That helps. I'll just get one on the way in.
Yeah, you could get one much closer.
Yes, I will try to do that, okay. And I'll actually Facebook Live me trying to get it into the station without letting it melt.
Nice.
Does that work?
I might Facebook Live from a Dairy Queen tomorrow, just so we know there's one like super local to here.
The journey of the Dilly Bar. That's what we're going to call it tomorrow.
That sounds lovely.
Well, it sounds a lot like our budget. We have, after the break, we are going to check in with a legislator the choice of Craig Collins. You're just going to pick through all of the numbers that we have and choose a legislator that we should call right now.
We've developed quite the Rolodex, so I'm just going to roll through it.
Yes. Well, it's a very scientific process that you have, I'm sure.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's what it is. Yep.
All right. Let's see where we are with our budget crisis after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting from the state capitol. I'm actually in the Capitol building right now. I don't know how many people are actually in the building right now. I didn't have a chance to go office to office. I'm sure there are people working late into the night, and we are going to call one of our legislators right now and see what they're up to. Craig, do we have somebody in the on the line?
We do. We have somebody on the queue that I just got on because I had to run downstairs to get Dr. Daphne.
Oh, no,
so
I'm sorry.
I just got this person on hold. And they are available. And they said, who am I speaking with? And I said, Patty Vasquez. And they go, oh, I love Patty. So here we are, Representative. Are you there?
I'm here. And that's all that was true.
Oh, it's Representative Sandak, yes?
It is, yes. How are you, Patty?
I'm very well. You sound like you're in a good mood. It's 11:15, and you guys have been here all day. And there's word now that there might be something happening in the Senate. What's going on in the House?
Well, the things happening in both chambers are promising. We had a day filled with compromise and opportunities at getting a deal done. We're not there yet, but I'm hoping we get there.
You don't sound as confident as some of the other people that I've spoken to, or some of the information that we've gotten. So you sound a little bit more cautiously optimistic. Would that be accurate?
I'm totally cautiously optimistic. And please don't take my attitude for anything other than. I've been here enough to know that things change, and I truly believe we'll get something done, but I don't want to jinx it or cause any potential bad mojo, so I choose to be cautiously optimistic.
I like the idea that one of the more prominent Republicans in the House of House of Representatives is worried about mojo and jinxing. Is there some juju involved?
Right.
Do you have any other
sort
of rituals?
You're on the same page. Exactly.
Yes.
I don't want to have bad juju, mojo, anything.
So wait, when you feel like a bill is about to pass, do you wear the same underwear for several days? Is it that kind of a thing?
I'm not going to go there. I'll do what I got to do to get a good thing done, okay?
Do you have there's no rituals? Is there like a certain order that you put things
on? Just a positive vibe. And I don't want to jinx anything. So okay. It's not like a baseball thing. I'm not going to wear the same clothes or whatever, but I just choose to be cautiously optimistic.
No, and I think that's promising. We haven't heard cautious optimism in a while, considering that a lot of the sessions have been canceled as far as the full house.
Right.
There have been work groups for the last 3 weeks. Is that correct?
Right. Correct, and I've been part of it. So the good news is we've had productive meetings. We've had good bipartisan, bicameral discussion. We're not in full agreement on everything, but we sure as heck have made strides. And all in all, I continue to believe those conversations are productive and they're heading in the right direction.
Well, when it comes to the two branches, and are you hearing anything about the Senate? Because, you know, you've obviously got a lot going on with the House. Do you think that the compromises you've heard in the House are sort of mirrored in the Senate as well?
Yeah, from what I'm told, a structure has been put together. And we'll see, I think, 4 bills, maybe 5 bills tomorrow. I don't know if they start in the Senate, the House, or what have you, but I believe we'll have a full active day, assuming nothing has jumped off course and something untoward has occurred. I believe we'll have a stopgap budget. I believe we'll have a transportation and K-12 funding so that IDOT projects continue and that we have a full school year ahead of us. And I believe we'll have 2 other bills that are more complementary. But I think this is heading in the right direction towards what I would call a ceasefire of some of the silliness and more serious policy implementation. And again, a decent place, not the best place. I wouldn't think anyone would declare victory, Patty, because this isn't a full year budget and we don't have reforms implemented. But I think what we have is a soft landing spot for everyone to kind of regroup and then start moving hopefully ahead in a bipartisan fashion to finish the year come January 2017 and start working on a far better trajectory for Illinois.
When you mentioned that this is a ceasefire, have there been any sort of moments like this in the last year since the last budget deadline?
No, not since I've been around. It's been nothing but lobbing of grenades, verbal grenades, if you will, at one another. And frankly, everyone talking past each other, not to each other, and without any real, you know, absorption of opportunities to try and get something done. I think there's been a lot of pressure, okay? Obviously,
of course.
The city of Chicago, of CPS, has a big pension payment due. There's a concern about schools opening. There's a concern about schools opening in other districts of the state, too. There's a concern about social service providers being able to ply their trade and help people. There's a concern about IDOT and construction projects not stopping on July 1st, but actually continuing. So these are obviously pressure points that have built because they've been ignored. And now they're at a point where they can't be ignored. And so everyone's finding a way towards conciliatory resolutions.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, you know, and we look forward to having you in studio because this will continue.
I can't wait.
You mentioned this is a 6-month solution. This takes us till about January, correct?
Correct. Yes.
And so a lot more work. And you mentioned this is sort of a moment to at least give you a soft landing spot so you guys can take a breath and go, okay, we got that. So I would imagine that would mean that the next step becomes at least a little easier, isn't like that wall of concrete resistance.
I agree. But, of course, some political practicalities sometimes overwhelm us, and that's an election come November. So what I suspect is happening is everyone's agreeing that no one wants to wear the jacket of being deemed correctly as, you know, not getting things done, as being obstinate and unable to work in a complementary fashion with others. So we need to at least find a space where we're funding basic Illinois services, where we're including education, higher education, by the way, too, and you know, we're going to agree, disagree for a little while because we're going to have a political process that rolls out in November. And then after that happens, whatever happens, dust settles, we got to move on because we've only, you know, completed half of the job.
Right. And one of the things that I've heard, and I don't know how much you can share or want to protect as far as language that is, I understand. I'm sensing that a little bit. And that's fair. I mean, this is a delicate balance, considering this is the first time people seem to sound very positive about the progress. But one of the words that I've heard, or at least the description of funding for education, is an increase that goes towards schools that have children that are at an economic disadvantage. And that was interesting to me because people think, oh, more for Chicago. But this sounds like something that is using language saying, look, there are kids who are disadvantaged all over the state of Illinois. Let's take care of them first. Let's make them a priority.
Correct. You're exactly right. Look, Chicago will get most of this extra money because obviously they have a higher population, but this extension of the poverty grant will go beyond the parameters of the city of Chicago and even Cook County. It will go elsewhere. It will go to those school districts in need, and that's a good thing. Anyone with a heart and a soul will say we ought to be addressing those with the most, you know, conspicuous need. And that's what this does. Now, it doesn't change the funding formula. As you know, that's been a topic of recent debate. And I think it's a legitimate one. It's just not going to get done now. It's not going to get addressed, you know, in an expedited fashion, given we're at this late date for just getting a budget done. But there's no doubt that after November, I suspect we'll have sincere conversations about changing the funding formula, and I welcome that discussion because I think we have an outdated formula, to be sure.
Sure. Yeah, no, that seems to be the sense I'm getting from everything. And I want to thank you so much. I know that you have an early morning. Look forward to seeing you in the House tomorrow. And I want to wish you, I want to wish everybody, and by everybody, I mean the entire state of Illinois, the best tomorrow when it comes to this very delicate balance that seems to be in jeopardy, but also positively in place.
Agreed. Thank you for that sentiment. I'm hoping it gets done, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Patty,
yeah, let's get you in studio in July, but we'll talk tomorrow.
I look forward to it. Yep.
Thank you. That's Representative Ron Sandek, and more when we come back. We are in the Capitol in Springfield, and I don't know. He sounded optimistic, and then it sounded a little scary. You're listening pretty late. Joining us in the studio is Dr. Daphne Scott. I don't know if she has a microphone because I'm in the
I do have a microphone. Hi, Patty.
Hi. Did you hear our interview with Representative Sandek?
I did.
Yeah, he sounded how would you describe the tone, like the sort of tone of his conversation? Like
I would say there was a rising sort of energy and sort of climax, and then he sort of trailed off there.
Well, no, but he seemed it was very guarded, and like he really wants to protect whatever conversations have been going on in the building. So
he's cautiously optimistic, I would say.
Yes. So yes. Please feel free to jump in. The conversation's coming up. We have Senator Biss at 11:45 and Representative Robert Martwick. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the state capitol, which is just weird to say. Dr. Daphne Scott is in our Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. Craig Collins, Esmeralda Leon, David Jennings, our engineer, Adam Phillips, all there. I'm here. I don't feel lonely at all, Daphne. I'm totally fine.
Good. You know what?
Yeah.
I don't want you to feel lonely. I think I feel great here.
I'm eating chili cheese Fritos and drinking Diet Coke.
This isn't
going to end well.
That sounds horrible. Sounds so lonely. That was my last Friday night, Patty.
Well, on the line with us, let's see if anybody else is struggling through the night. We have Representative Robert Martwick on the line. How's it going, Representative?
Ah, pretty good, Patty. Pretty good. I'm not eating chili cheese fries and drinking Diet Coke, but you know, all things
Fritos.
Fritos.
If it was chili cheese fries, that would be magnificent. They're chili cheese Fritos. It's not so good. It's very sad.
Is there anybody down there with you, or are you there by yourself?
You know what? This is better than when you guys had the deadline. Not that not meeting the deadline was a good thing, but it was very crowded down here. I have the whole place to myself, which is wonderful and terrifying at the same time. What happened? You told me that you didn't think there was going to be much movement, and things have changed in the last 24 hours, haven't they?
They sure did. They changed almost instantaneously. There was no indication that there was going to be anything that resembled any sort of deal, except on some sort of transportation thing. And then at 11 o'clock last night, the Speaker's chief of staff sent out an email suggesting everyone pack a bag. And you kind of knew, uh-oh, are we going to close in on something? And so today was pretty wild. We gaveled in and then sat there on an empty floor. After doing a couple of minor things, we really sat there just at ease. We were technically in session, but we weren't doing a darn thing because right. The leaders were meeting and trying to close in on this deal. And it appears they may have.
Wow.
Now, I've been through this long enough over the course of the last 18 months to really suggest that it's done. But there will be a bill that gets presented in the executive committee tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. And then if all goes well, we will adjourn or we will convene at 9, go to caucus for an hour, discuss the terms of the deal, and then have a vote on it.
Well, and when you say you have a vote on it, there's going to be a long discussion, I'm guessing, back and forth on the floor.
I would assume. I mean, I think everyone has a right to ask a lot of questions about what's in this bill and what does it do. You know, it's one of those things where I won't tell you I'm not happy that there's a deal. I'm always happy when there's a deal. But it's not a real budget. It's a temporary stopgap. It doesn't address the shortfall in revenues, is my understanding, so we're not talking about any new revenues, when we're all acutely aware that that's the biggest problem we face, right? So it's not the be-all and end-all, but, you know, once you actually start agreeing on stuff, you never know what might come next.
We spoke to Representative Sandak before the news, and he was calling this kind of maybe a soft landing to give everyone a chance to at least come to an agreement temporarily. Perhaps, you know, as some people are up for re-election coming up in the fall, maybe this will at least get us through that and the dust will settle and we can move on to a longer-term budget. Does that sound like a possibility?
Well, I hope so. You know, I mean, that's what you always hope for whenever there's an agreement, right? And you've seen this throughout your time down here. Anytime we have something that is important legislation that goes out on bipartisan accord, then we say, there's hope. We could work together and get something done. And, you know, the problem with the budget has always been the philosophical differences that are keeping us from actually addressing the problem. So this allows the government to operate. It keeps things afloat somewhat,
right.
But it doesn't address the underlying causes, which is that we have a lack of revenue, that the state is broke, that we have a huge backlog of bills, that without that revenue, we are making severe cuts. So even with this stopgap budget, you know, we're throwing a few crumbs to the starving man, right? We're not giving him a banquet. We are unable to fund things the way we would like to fund them. And until we start making those hard decisions about what gets cut so that other things can get funded and how much do we raise in taxes and who do we raise it from, until we get down to those nuts and bolts, we truly are only just plugging a hole for now.
Right.
We're not coming up with answers to our structural problems.
Dr. Scott, do you have any recommendations I know Representative Martwick has been through this many times, but you know, this is a unique situation. People are coming from very different points of view. Do you have any suggestions as they settle into their seats tomorrow and prepare to have this discussion over our budget?
Well, I certainly don't want to speak to legislators who have been at this for way longer than I've never been in their seat.
But maybe an outside perspective
I definitely think there's a there's a way that you can approach this in consciousness, which is to look for the win-win-win. You know, where can we get a triple win here and really stay in conversation together until we can get that, versus isolating one group or, you know, kind of going for the quote compromise, which tends to leave everybody feeling a little sick, I think, as they walk away from the table. But, you know, it's complicated. And I think people having some understanding that these issues are complicated, and how do we take care of a society? You know, how do we protect people's equality and social capital and at the same time that we're trying to meet the demands of the state? So I have a lot of compassion for our legislators, and
I think we all need to come to the table with that sort of mindset. And how do we do that? How do we stay in conversation to create what we need to know? We know we need needs to happen.
That's a key word, don't you think? Go ahead, Representative.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, he hits the nail on the head there. And that is, you know, the whole idea is that democracy is the sort of government where you don't get everything you want.
Right.
That's the nature of it. And the, you know, one of the things that I've criticized the governor for, or pointed out anyway, is that, you know, he's never worked in a democracy. So he's used to just, I want, I get.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one of those things where all of us are going to have to suffer, because none of us are getting what we want, because we want diametrically opposed things. And so as you mentioned, you know, the first bit of compromise might make you feel a little uneasy because you didn't get what you want. But hopefully people will learn from this that, hey, that's the nature of this. Get what you can and keep fighting for what you want. And those sort of victories are those happen over the course of a long struggle. You don't walk into office, make demands, and get what you want. It's a long struggle. Look at marriage equality. It took a decade.
And I think that's really the point. And, you know, how do we, you know, how do we have those conversations in a way that doesn't marginalize people and contributes to our society as a whole? And that's difficult. You know, marriage equality is a great example. That can be a difficult conversation when people are opposed. They're stuck in their old beliefs. You know, things that didn't work, you know, things that were OK 100 years ago are not OK now. And how do we have those conversations so that we can take care of the whole? I really think that that's the place we need to start. And staying in conversation with each other is most important.
Stay in conversation. And compassion is the other word that I want, you know, not just our legislators, but also the constituents. All of us, I think, have gotten into this really angry place. And, you know, in particular, people who are struggling, obviously, they're mad and they're frustrated. But, you know, for everybody, if you can take a moment, take a breath and go, okay, let's look at the big picture and try to figure out, you know, where. And this is why I keep stressing, call your legislators, stay in contact with them, email them, tweet at them, just let them know that you're watching as well and you want to know what's happening. That way you feel connected. You may not have any control over this, but you can have a voice. Representative Martwick, I want to give you a chance to get some rest, and I will see you not at 8, but somewhere around there.
Sounds good. See you tomorrow. Have a great night.
I'll see you in the morning. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, we are in the state capitol. I'm in the basement all by my lonesome. Back in the studio, Dr. Daphne Scott, Esmeralda, David Jennings, Craig Collins, and Adam Phillips are all taking care of the show. And I'm going to have some more chili. Cheese Fritos. More after this on 720 WGN.
Well, I'm not coming back to Oglesby, so I'm going straight to the Capitol and grabbing the first lawmakers I see. Meet Democratic Senator Biss and Republican Representative Sandak. That's right. I got two members from opposing parties to sit with me, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this mess.
Look, I point the finger at the governor for coming in guns blazing and wanting to hold the budget hostage and be unwilling to just sit down and negotiate about the budget.
That's just not accurate. He's not a member of the legislature. He can't draft a bill, and he can't sign a budget on his own. It needs to come to him.
To be clear, a budget has come to him, but instead he vetoed the whole thing except for one bill.
Yeah, he vetoed a $4 billion out-of-balance budget because no one's going to line item $4 billions.
Why not?
Billion, because it's ridiculous. It's our job. Why? Because we should do that.
Dude, the Constitution explicitly says the governor can line item things out of the budget to bring it into balance. Why shouldn't he have done that?
Well, of course Illinois is screwed with bickering Muppets running the state. They can agree that they're both to blame.
Okay.
You know you're to blame, right?
What? Of course we are.
So you're not to blame.
No.
Are you guys?
He's to blame.
Who's to blame?
We're all to blame. If you're sleeping well at night, you're doing it wrong.
You're sleeping well at night?
Only on the weekends.
It feels like you're doing
Oh, is that brilliant? I didn't get a chance to see that. We are on the line with one of the Muppets. Senator Biss. How are you doing, Senator?
I'm great. You know, I have always wanted to get called a Muppet on national TV, and it's been a long, difficult slog for 38 years waiting for this moment, and now here we are.
I it's remarkable, and I'm sorry I didn't know about this when we just had Representative Sandak on, and I saw your tweet, and I'd heard earlier that you crushed it on Comedy Central, and that was pretty phenomenal. So everybody can actually follow Senator Biss on Twitter, and you'll have find a link there to the video. I think that sums it up. You agree that this is not your fault, but this is the fault of the legislators. Is that what you're pretty much saying?
It's all of our fault. It's the governor's fault. It's the legislator's fault. If you're playing a role in leadership in Illinois and you don't take the time to look inside yourself and all you can do is point your fingers elsewhere, then you're just not fulfilling your responsibility. What's going on now is so awful, so wrong, so cruel that every one of us has to assume some responsibility, and every one of us has to look inside ourselves and say, what can I do differently to make it better?
Well, there you go. I think that we found the person that's trying to fix the whole thing, Daphne. Don't you think that we've pretty much found the I mean, nobody else is saying that. Nobody else is saying, you know, even the idea that if you're sleeping well at night, you're doing it wrong. I think that's a great point to make. And are you going to be able to sleep tonight? Because it looks like there's a possibility of an agreement tomorrow.
I mean, look, I'm encouraged. I think that in the last couple of days, what we've seen is people sit down and try to work something out. And, you know, I don't think that what we're likely to do tomorrow is going to be the big solution, but it's going to be a step in the right direction. It's going to keep programs going. It's going to keep schools open. It's going to, frankly, keep people alive. And it's also going to show all of us that we can get things done if we sit down and try. I think it's important.
What was the day like today? Because the way I was getting information yesterday, there wasn't going to be much movement today, and that seemed to have changed in the last 24 hours. Is that? Ooh, did somebody fall?
No, I'm here. I'm still standing.
I wasn't sure if the Muppets, the Muppeteer, put you down for a second. Or...
Yeah, no, it's difficult when you don't actually have legs, but I'm still here.
What changed today?
And first of all, let's be clear, it changed twice. First, nothing was going to happen today, and then everything was, and then it didn't. We're hoping that everything happens tomorrow. The fiscal year ends June 30th. That's tomorrow. That's kind of a big date circled in everyone's calendar and, you know, with red marker. It took that date looming in the immediate future before all the parties were willing to sit down and really say, look, we may not agree about right to work. We may not agree about workers' compensation. There may be a whole mess of things that we just can't agree on, but we all agree the schools should open. We all agree we need universities to run. We all agree that society needs to care for the homeless, needs to care for the mentally ill, needs to care for the disabled. Let's figure out how to do that stuff now. And then hopefully use that process to build some trust, and then maybe the next time around we can sit down and work out even more agreement. And that was something that people weren't even really trying to do 4 or 5 days ago, but in the last couple of days there seems to have been real movement. And I am, you know, this is not a good business for counting chickens before they hatch, so we'll see. But at this moment, I am pretty optimistic that we're going to make some good steps tomorrow.
And I'd heard that there was an increase, at least in reflection to the last proposal for a temporary budget for education, about another $250 million that wasn't there before. Was that something that came from the governor, or was that from the work groups?
It was splitting the difference. You know, there was a big gap between what President Collerton and Senate Democrats believe that we ought to be doing for our schools, the kind of investment that we believe our schools need, on the one hand, and what the governor thought, which was less. And, you know, you can either say, oh, I'm mad at you because you want something different than me, or you can agree to something in between. And it looks likely at this point that we're all going to agree on something in between, which I think is appropriate.
And I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Do you have a suggestion for where I should spend most of my time? Because it seems like the House of Reps, they get a little more heated. But if it's going to be more dramatic in the Senate, I'll hang out there more.
No, you should hang out in the Senate, and I'll come visit, and it'll be nice. We'll
It is. It gets a little wild in the House, and there's a different tone. Obviously, you have different responsibilities, but at the end of the day, you have to come to this sort of go back and forth. How much do you have an idea of what they're working on with the negotiations that are going on in the House while you guys are working in the Senate?
I mean, I spend a fair amount of time on the House floor. I remember when I was first elected. Somebody who'd been in the legislature for a long time, who was kind of a mentor to me, gave me a piece of advice. She said, a lot of people pass their bill and they forget that the bill has to pass a whole other chamber to become law. You know, it's not so great if you just put your head down and do your job. Your job actually involves looking at the whole landscape and working with everybody. So I spend quite a lot of time in the House. I spend a lot of time talking to House members and making sure that we're on the same page as much as possible. Look, it's a different environment. It's more raucous. It's more fun. People yell at each other more.
Yes.
But I think that we do interesting and important things in both chambers. And, I think tomorrow's going to be a pretty important day to watch for the state of Illinois.
I agree. And this, again, is a temporary, if all goes well, the best we can do is have a temporary budget until January. And the way it's being described, like people from the House, is that this could be a soft landing spot and give everyone a chance to sort of, shake it off a little bit and go, okay, at least we worked that out. Now we can move forward on some other really big problems that we have with the budget.
Yeah, I mean, like, while we're in the middle of, high-fiving each other and organizing ticker tape parades and figuring out how we're going to save our trophies.
Yeah, no, we have the route all worked out, yes.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad someone's on that. Let's be clear. This is a kind of halfway thing. This is no great solution. This is no grand bargain. This is no sustainable budget that we can afford over the long term. This is just a holy cow, let's not shut down our schools tomorrow. Let's not continue to throw the homeless out on the streets and turn our backs on the mentally ill. Let's keep those programs that are so important running. In the meantime, though, we still need to have a comprehensive budget solution that looks at revenue, that finds adequate money to fund for the programs that we believe in, and that is sustainable and affordable over the long term. Tomorrow, we're not going to do that. And we better do that before too long. But I would rather tomorrow say, hey, we're going to work together to figure out a way to keep the things that the state needs running, and then use that, like you said, as a jumping off spot from which we can then build the comprehensive, sustainable, long-term agreement.
Well, I want you to make sure you get some rest, because it sounds like a long day tomorrow, and I will see you on the floor of the Senate. And everyone should check out your clip on Comedy Central. Again, follow him on Twitter, Daniel Biss, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you so much, sir.
Awesome. Hey, thanks, Patty. I'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I am broadcasting from the Capitol Building of Illinois. I'm in Springfield in anticipation. I'm hoping that the legislators do have an agreement, that they'll be able to pass at least a temporary budget tomorrow. But, that's tomorrow. So we've got some time to hang out with – it's tomorrow, Daphne. It's funny. It was
I think
funny
it's tomorrow right now, Patty.
Shucks. It's only tomorrow after we go to bed.
Okay.
When we go to bed and wake up again, then it's the next
then
day.
It's the next. Okay, that's reasonable.
Yes.
That's reasonable.
It's irrelevant how much of the sun comes out first. All that stuff doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter.
Right.
Where do we land with Esmeralda and what day this is for her? I think that she's with the...
I try to do that it's the next day, although it is weird because then that means that I come in on right now, but then when I come back, it's the same day.
Yes, that is weird. So you go to bed.
So I go to bed and it's the same day as the day before.
My head that doesn't make any sense.
My
that
head
can't
hurts
happen.
Now.
It's like time travel or something.
You're sleeping during the same day.
Sleeping transitions us to the next day.
Because usually,
not Esmeralda's life.
Usually you go to work, you go to bed, and then when you come back to work, it's the next day.
Right.
Yes.
For me, it's technically not.
So you wake up, you actually wake up and go, today is the same day.
Esmeralda, what time did you wake up?
I woke up at 1 p.m.
So you woke up at 1 p.m. today.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
You woke up how many hours before it became today? Today?
What?
Oh, yeah.
You woke up 11 hours before today started today.
Yeah. Here you go. So your Thursday started on Wednesday.
I don't know, man.
Right.
No, so, I don't wait, know, man.
So for the 11, her Wednesday.
For wait. The 11 hours that it was Wednesday, were you saying Thursday?
No.
Were
what?
You like, it is Thursday right now?
I mean,
now?
I kind of do that because technically this is my
Thursday.
Right. And it's been your Thursday since you woke up, right?
Yeah, that is messed up.
Yeah. Sometimes I do have to check. I'm like, what day is it? Because I'll
so
forget.
Confused.
You need to watch with a calendar on it.
Right, seriously, yeah.
But well, if you think about, like, right now, So today's Thursday. When I come back tomorrow, it'll still be Thursday.
It'll still be Thursday.
That's what I mean. For 11 hours, then you're going to live Friday on Thursday.
Yes.
You have like your own little mini Groundhog Day.
Well, I think that there are people that go through cycles of this. Dr. Daphne, you had a time in your life when you were commuting to school in Pennsylvania, didn't you?
I did.
That had to sort of like make you feel like, where am I? Where am I waking up?
Yeah.
Did you ever get disoriented?
All the time. I still do. I travel regularly for work, and I still have, you know, it's like I'll be in one city in one hotel, and then literally, you know, the next day I'm in a different city in a different hotel the next day. And so I have to remind myself what floor I'm on, and I'll wake up sometimes, and I'm like, wait, what is today? What city am I in? Oh, right. I'm in San Antonio. Like, yeah, when I was traveling to Pennsylvania, to Philadelphia, it was like that. It was very confusing.
Yeah. I mean, I travel a lot, but I think that, I don't know, nothing like quite on that scale.
I fell asleep on the plane one time. This was my moment. I fell asleep one time on the plane, and I woke up, and I was actually headed back to Chicago. And when I woke up, I couldn't remember if I was headed to Chicago or to some other city. And I had a moment of just not. It took me about a minute to a minute and a half to figure out where I was headed. It was very disorienting.
You need a like that movie where he had to tattoo himself.
Yeah. Memento.
Thing, yeah. Memento. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a strange thing. It's kind of a strange twist on your reality, right? To just not really have a sense of what day it is or where you're at. And it's kind of funny.
From the 312, Esmeralda, 1 hour ago, what day was it?
Wednesday? It was Wednesday, right?
Yes.
Okay. Today's it's my Thursday.
But an hour ago was your Wednesday.
But it's always my Thursday.
Right. See? This is weird.
Wednesdays are always my Thursdays.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, that's true. Right, because she doesn't work on our Fridays.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what keeps me going.
Okay.
So I'm like, it's Wednesday, but it's really Thursday in my head.
And we almost had that schedule. I was trying to have trying to follow Nick D's schedule so that we would do the same thing Sunday through Thursday. But now that I'm hearing Esmeralda, I don't think I would make it. It would make me very confused.
But it's fun because then when I wake up on Friday, I'm just like, oh, I don't have to do anything.
Is it your Friday?
Right, when I wake up in the afternoon, I got nothing to do.
So then Friday is
trying to figure out what day it is.
Yeah, except that.
So then wait, though. So you actually go to bed on Friday and then you wake up and it's Friday for you. And
right.
Then you just keep living Friday.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So then you live Saturday, but then you don't have a Sunday. So you would wake up.
Yeah, Sunday's my
and
Monday.
It would be Monday. So Esmeralda has a 6-day week. She has a double Friday and no Monday or no Sunday.
No, but she works 5 days.
Right.
Right.
So
yeah, my Friday is my Saturday.
Right. But then your Friday is also your Friday because when you wake up, you still have a Friday.
Right. That's Friday. Her hump day is very weird.
She has two Fridays and no Sunday is what I'm saying.
Which is fine. I don't like Sundays.
Yeah. Sundays are lame.
Yeah.
What are you doing on Sunday
anyway?
They
always make you feel like a failure. You didn't
get
through the whole Sunday paper. You didn't get everything done you wanted to.
Right. You know Monday's right around the corner. Skip Sunday.
Yeah. Mine just goes Saturday, Monday.
Yeah.
Monday.
From the 708, I feel for Esmeralda only because she has to deal with Patty and Nick every night. Now that's a ride.
That's a fun ride.
It is. It's got to be a little bit manic. We have such different points of view. I like Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He does not like it very much. I like Friends. He likes Seinfeld. We are sort of we're not the odd couple because we never see each other anymore except for his movie night, really.
Oh, my
Which,
goodness.
By the way,
Airplane. Yes. I was going to say if you
Airplane.
Guys could do some sort of video where you guys are like the Odd Couple, that'd be too cute.
Yeah, that'd be really cute. We could put you in like a montage.
Who would you be? Felix or?
I'd be Felix.
Yeah, you would have to be Felix.
Don't you think I'd
oh my
be
God,
Felix
you guys should do this. It would
although,
be too adorable.
You're not the other guy.
Not the Oscar?
Oscar, no. No, no, no. I don't feel Oscar coming from you, Patty.
But apparently I have very bad allergies. You remember that noise he used to make? Tony Randall would do that noise where he'd try to clear his sinuses. I'm
yes.
not going to do it on the air. But in private, I might do that.
You might. You might or you will. definitely do.
Craig's been there for my vocal warm-ups.
I have.
Yep. Yeah. Patakata.
Patakata. What was? What's your saying? You have a saying.
Unique New York.
No, there's another
unique
one.
New York.
Would you? Could you? Did
there it
you,
is.
William?
Mm-hmm. Would you? Could you?
Should
did
you? Could you? You, William. Yes. Can't you? Won't you? Don't you, William?
William.
So you hit the T's. You hit the T's. You hit the T's and the D's.
Early on, when she was doing radio, that happened every night. Do you still do those, Patty? Because you don't do them.
She doesn't
in
her own mind
anymore.
Now.
Okay.
She does that noise instead.
Why do you think I don't? Why do you think I come in so close to the show so you don't have to?
Oh,
hear
got
me
it.
Doing
okay.
It in the car.
It's nice of you.
I sit in the car. I do it in traffic. Actually, I do it like on the highway on the Kennedy on my way in.
For
I
no,
do. Shut up.
For no good reason.
Do you open your mouth real wide too, and just the people next to you are like, "What is going on over there?"
I make it really wide and then make it really small. I make it wide and then small. I stretch out. Yeah, you have to warm up your facial muscles and your tongue.
There you go.
Is everyone just staring at the emptiness that I should be occupying?
I am.
What is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. It's my tool. My voice and my ability to control it is my tool.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
That's all you got. It works?
And, you know. I guess. I don't know. That and the. I try to read stuff.
Well, you do well on those reads. I mean,
the
you
reads,
do well in the live
the read
reads.
Stuff.
The live reads. Yeah, you do well.
No, I meant like I try to keep up on what's going on in the world once in a while.
For topic
purposes. By the
purposes.
Way, we, for topic purposes. Yeah,
yes,
I wake up and the first thing I do is start
legislation.
Finding out what's in the news.
You are learned.
That stuff too. I'm learning stuff. By the way, Dr. Daphne Scott, you sent me a link. I want to talk about when we come back about what happens when we marginalize people.
Yes.
And I want to find out more about that, and mostly because I couldn't follow the link that you sent me. More for this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting from the state capital of Illinois. I'm in Springfield. There's a possibility of a temporary budget being passed tomorrow. It will take us through January, and then hopefully that gives everyone a time to step back and go, okay, we worked this out. Hopefully we can do the next thing. And so that's why I'm down here, and I'm missing some in-studio time with Dr. Daphne Scott, who joins us. And you sent me a link for a TED Talk with a professor that you studied with at UPenn. Is that correct?
That is correct. Isaac Prolentensky. I'm probably mangling his last name, but he's amazing.
And this is about what happens when you marginalize people. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, he really talks about looking at what happens in societies, you know, around his overarching umbrella would be social gradient, but really looking at social capital, social conditions in a country, and equality. And the basic idea is that, you know, what creates well-being. So first we have to understand what well-being is. It's like talking about well-being is like talking about the weather, right?
Right.
So like weather, it's a construct. It's a lot of things. But when we look at what really creates well-being, and I think this is, Patty, really a great conversation to have in terms of when we start talking about the budget and what we're trying to do. And so much of what you've talked about, what happens when these parts of our society are not taken care of. And so he talks about social capital, social conditions, and then equality. And really the research, when you really look at the data and what actually happens in countries, and so he'll pick on Denmark, Belgium in particular, who in one era in the 1970s, you know, Denmark and Belgium both report they're the happiest, have the highest levels of well-being, and suddenly Belgium declines like 20 years later. And it's not genetics. It's not that suddenly an entire group of people, their genetic code has changed, because that's one of the things that they'll talk about, right? It's really that there were things that happened in their country that actually started to create that decline. In other words, there was a distrust of the government, or there were policies that were changed that started to contribute to this decline. And so he really looks at the data, and what they know is that when there's a lot of inequality in countries, mental health is worse. Teenage pregnancies are worse. It really starts to impact the entire bottom line of a country, let alone the overall health. And I think this is something that we need to start talking about more so in, if not in Illinois, in our country in general, I think would be really helpful.
And how can we have a meaningful impact when it's like, I think that it begins with one-on-one contact when you're in the grocery store and annoyed with things and the way you affect the person in line. I mean, because I think whatever you bring to a certain situation is influenced by your anger or frustration with the government or with the economy or with this group of people that you think is taking things from you. And it sort of has a one-on-one impact when you are having personal contact with others, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, emotions are contagious. contagious. We've known that forever. That's not a weird woo-woo type of thing. It's not up for debate.
It's not.
It's not up for debate. We've known that for quite some time. Emotions are contagious. And, you know, there's a real crazy thing that happens when we all get in fear. Fear of each other, fear of our belief systems. We start doubling down on that. And then the natural thing that's going to happen when you get scared enough is you're going to want to get right and righteous. And then we start to have a lot of divide. And that really pulls our society apart versus actually allowing us. I thought the senator you had on the phone earlier was just so, and he's like, we're looking at what's really important. And they are. They are starting to realize, like, shutting down the education in Illinois would not be a good idea. Right. We have to keep that going. And not taking care of people who cannot take care of themselves would not be a good idea. Right? Not because it's a nice thing to do. I mean, that sounds great.
Right.
But also it has major impacts on what will happen to the state of Illinois as a whole. So I think the legislators looking at where do we agree first? What's absolutely necessary? What do we need to have happen here? And letting go of some of our righteousness is really the first place to start.
But there's so many different personalities, you know, in the legislature that it's hard to imagine people letting go of righteousness. I think that's a thing. I think that there's that sense of righteousness, right, of
absolutely.
The behavior. I was telling the story on Monday about being in a waiting room, and this guy at a hospital, this guy was yelling at the television, screaming about how stupid the women on The View were.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such an assault to my sense, to just like this guy, I mean, the yelling, the attack on women, this, you know, she's a bimbo and brainless and all these things. And I'm the kind of person, I have to do something proactive. I know that's surprising.
That's so surprising.
I know. I got up. The first thing I did was I asked the people behind the desk to turn the TV off, and they said change the channel. And they said they didn't have the remote control.
Somehow,
well, it's avoidance, right? They don't want to get in the middle of it. They don't want to make things worse.
Sure.
You know, so I just walked over because TVs have buttons. And
they do.
I just turned it off completely so that we did not have to get into the discussion of what to watch next.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's so wise, Patty. And here's the thing. Adrenaline is incredibly addictive. And drama is, you know, drives adrenaline. So when people start getting really trim and getting down to the individual approach here, you know, for anybody, you know, when we start to appeal to our lowest nature, it's very difficult not to sort of want the hit of adrenaline. And that's what drama is. You know, it's I'm right, you're wrong. And now we're going to get into this sort of strange interaction with each other. And it's really driven by a big hit of adrenaline. And anybody who's sort of can dial into their own experience of that, of getting into these interlocks with people or groups of people, knows what that feels like. Just come to my family reunion and you'll see it firsthand, right? And so adrenaline is really addictive, and it takes a lot to override that and not to get hooked into that and get stuck into drama and righteousness. So,
well, and by that, I'm guessing you mean like not engaging him in talent and like sort of trying to up the escalate. I'm not escalating directly.
Yeah.
The only course of action I had was to remove, because I can't go anywhere. I'm waiting for someone, and
Lies.
He's not going anywhere. No, but he kept yelling at the off television. Continuing, like, you know. I know. So here's what I did. I called my husband and very loudly started describing the person in the waiting room who was being loud and ignorant. So.
Well, that was one that didn't work.
Yeah, that did.
That's good. But you know, people.
Oh, he goes. Oh, I can hear a conversation. I get it.
Whatever,
so look, I'd like to invite our listeners, if you don't mind, Dr. Daphne, maybe they have situations where, you know, they have already escalated, or they're trying to avoid creating more drama.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's at work or in personal relationships. I think that you have a lot of great insight if people want some advice on what's going on, what's stressing them out. Because, you know, what we know about our show is that people are, you know, maybe they're third shifters like us, where they're working late.
Sure.
Maybe they're driving in the middle of the night and they've got things on their mind. Maybe they're laying in bed trying to drift off, and we try our best to not keep them awake, but also to keep them awake. It's sort of a weird balance. but it can be personal relationships or, you know, something that's stressing you out. Dr. Daphne has some great ways with dealing with whether it's adrenaline or, you know, the stories we tell ourselves too.
Absolutely.
Sometimes saying something out loud helps you work through it that way too. So if there's anything on your mind, we want you to know, first of all, and this is one of the goals of our show, is that you're not the only one. That's our goal of the show
so
every
true.
Night. Right, is to make someone realize, even if it's just one person that realizes, oh, I'm not the only one. That's what we really strive for on this show. So 312-981-7200. You can call or text us if you have any questions or thoughts that you would like to share with us. And Dr. Daphne Scott is our person of positivity. She doesn't want to be our positivity expert. She has demoted herself. I don't know why.
I can be positivity expert. That's fine. I'll
person
go either way.
Positivity. I think we need a better title for your segments.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably your genius. I'm not good at naming things.
Please.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, pretty late. I mean, that's great.
It's because people kept saying it was too late. It's really, really late. And it's not too late.
It's pretty late.
It's pretty late, but it's not like super duper late.
It's not really late.
No, it's not obnoxiously late.
Right. It's not like Esmeralda was up all day long.
No. Yesterday. No.
Yesterday. Not like that. Not like that.
I am going to – I need your help with a decision. Do I go sweet or more salty on my next vending machine purchase?
Salty.
I finished salt. More salty. Yeah.
Salty.
They have something called Salsitos on the top row. I think I'm going to do one thing from each row. They have Pop-Tarts in the vending machine, but no chocolate Pop-Tarts. That's very frustrating to me. They have like blueberry.
That's frustrating.
Oh, it makes me mad.
Now, see, these are the things that are really important, Patty. These are the big decisions you're faced with, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how not to escalate.
Well, you know, you get really righteous at the vending machine.
Oh, you have no idea. Right. You know, that's much righteousness.
That's the other thing, you know. It's sort of these shoulds and shouldn'ts. You know, life should be a certain way. It shouldn't be this way. And I think that's the other place that we really get ourselves hooked. Around how life should show up, you know, and we get into resistance to life. And that's a whole nother process to work ourselves through.
I think there are people who develop that, like, as a whether it's coping or, mm-hmm. you know, just maybe the way their families were. Because then you also set up expectations. And the hard part about expectations is if they're not met, there's no way to sort of reconcile that mentally. You just get so frustrated. And that's like Wendy Snyder was talking about Disney World the other day, and you know how it's called the happiest place on earth.
Yeah.
And you see all these people just imploding, fighting, and being frustrated because they've worked it up to be this big experience. And instead of taking it as it comes.
Yeah, that's a big one, you know, and how, again, you know, sort of how we think life should be showing up and what happens when it doesn't show up the way we think it should and how much resistance we create around that. It's a practice, you know, and you hear about this a lot with, well, first of all, they stopped doing studies on people who were around the age of like 69 and older around their satisfaction with life because they're very happy. at that age, they've learned to let go of a lot of things that otherwise,
they're happy.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that we didn't care about them anymore.
No. They
were like, good luck, you're on the slow slide the other way. Why? Nope.
Every time they measure them, they just show up with these higher levels of satisfaction with life. And they're like, why bother asking these people, you know, about this? Because they keep coming back with the same data. Like, yeah, they're very, very satisfied with my life. Even despite things that maybe not being perfect. But there's that approach, perspective, that sort of the wisdom that comes with life at that point. And there's a lot of much more willingness to let go of the way things, you know, we think things should be, if you will.
Well,
so.
Oh, I think we should go to the news. But in the meantime, that's what I think things should be. 312-981-7200. We are taking your questions and comments for Dr. Daphne Scott. If you're trying to cope with something, this is a good time to sort of unload a little bit. You have an expert. Well, she's a person who has an area of expertise. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the state capital of Illinois. I'm in Springfield, and I am consuming copious amounts of soda and salt. I don't know what just happened.
Did you move on to the salt now?
I still have salt. I went with salt and vinegar.
Oh, chips?
They're called dirty potato chips.
Oh, that sounds very enticing.
We kettle cook in a premium peanut oil blend. That doesn't sound like it's a good idea.
You need to read that. Read that more seductively.
Okay, hold on.
All right.
Dirty potato chips. Original recipe. We kettle cook in a premium peanut oil blend. Crunchier, tastier potato chip. I didn't do my vocal warm-ups. I feel like I should.
No, it's pretty good. The peanut oil. When you say peanut, I think that's really...
Yeah. Are we going to get paid now by these people? We need to get money for that.
You should. Net
weight.
Sponsorship.
What? Net weight, 1.5 ounces.
Ooh, that's...
It's not very big, actually.
Size doesn't matter.
No, it's not either.
Craig.
They're gluten-free, Craig.
Well, we don't want a lot of... We need to have that taken care of.
Why would it contain milk ingredients? Anyway, Craig, do we have any... let me know if we get any calls or texts for Dr. Daphne Scott. We're talking about staying...
Yeah, we have kind of a difficult situation from one of our callers, Pat, who wants to share that with Daphne and see how to be positive in the situation. Pat, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Daphne.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I'm 74. And I had a stroke a couple of years ago, so I'm in the wheelchair.
Mm.
But I was happy with it. It was okay. I was not having any pity parties or anything.
Sure.
However, recently, my sons, I have four sons, have decided that I should go into a home.
Mm.
I don't want to go. Yeah. But I don't think I have a choice. I'm trying to be cheerful.
Mm-hmm.
I have to, I've been in this house 40 years.
Mm.
My husband died 10 years ago. We had a very happy marriage. I don't know what to do. I'm not dealing well with it.
Yeah, I bet
and
you're
I'm by nature a very optimistic person, very outgoing, very friendly.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's just... I mean, I can tell when you tell me your story, I can feel my own sadness. You know, there's a lot of letting go there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of sort of how things were and how things are now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think sometimes, Pat, we skip over our sadness is really our process of letting go. And I think sometimes we try to skip over that. I love that you have an optimistic attitude and an optimistic approach to life. At the same time that we can allow the sadness to be there and appreciating what was before.
I'm afraid to let the sadness in there.
Yeah, it's really scary, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we all can relate to that it feels like it'll be overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that might be the place to start, maybe.
Getting sad?
Yeah, well, just...
working through it.
Letting the sadness be there already, and then you'll find that other you know, on the other side of sadness is often our levels of really gratitude and appreciation and how much we appreciate all that was before, and then being able to step into our new life.
Are you afraid that being sad is a selfish way to handle it? Because I know sometimes people feel like, oh, you know, there's so many other bad things going on in the world. I actually kind of have it okay. This happens to everybody, sort of an attitude. And you get to sort of, like Daphne said, you get to be there for your own sadness.
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're asking me.
Do you feel like it would be selfish for you to be sad? Like, you know,
yes.
That would...
Absolutely.
It's not selfish. It's part of self-preservation, wouldn't you say, Daphne?
Yeah, well, I think being with our emotions in a way that's really healthy to us and healthy to others, in other words, allowing ourselves to feel them, you know, we've really only been taught a couple ways to be with our emotional energies. One is to suppress them and repress them. The other is to numb them out, which isn't so good. And then the third way is to actually express them, to aggress with our emotions. And there's really a fourth way, which is to actually just allow them to be there and not, and it's a practice. This is a really big practice for most people, Pat, is to allow our emotions to be there, our sadness. Because I can hear the sadness in your voice as you're talking,
sure.
Right? And telling me your story here. So allowing the sadness to be there at the same time that you have so much, it sounds like in your life, so much gratitude and appreciation. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of a weird thing to resolve those two things, right? That you can have so much sadness at the same time you have so much appreciation.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's really bizarre, right? And it sounds like you have your sons that do care about you. They're concerned about you and want you to be taken care of and maybe not being in a moving out of your home. You know, I can only imagine what that feels like to let go of your home you've been in for 40 years.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah, that can't feel real great in the moment, even though maybe you can see the utility of it. It probably doesn't feel real great. And your independence and the familiarity of your environment, you know?
You know, the thing most young people don't understand is when you do get to the golden years, they're not golden, they're brass. But anyway,
yeah,
you lose one thing after another. Yeah. I've lost the use of my car.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my husband. Mm-hmm. I lost my eyes. They're going, they're blurring.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of friends and relatives have died. They're gone now. You know, it's like a whole lot of stuff you didn't expect to be part of old age.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was saying earlier, I don't know if you heard earlier, when I was talking to Patty, you know, this is one of the things that we start to encounter as we go through our life cycle is just more and more letting go.
I let go. I like to let go. I'm happy to let go. I think it's a wise thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. It's sometimes we just don't have the choice, right, about when that's going to occur, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that's the wisdom that comes with age that you have at your age that I probably don't have at mine even yet. I haven't gone through all those processes yet in my life. So, yeah, those are very challenging things.
Change the subject, Patty, thank you for being in Springfield watching out for us, keeping your eye on all of them for us.
Pat, did you hear more about the library? Because I've been trying to find out from some of the reps about that library and the access to books for the blind. Have they informed you whether or not they have closed? Because I know you said July was the looming date.
I don't know.
Okay, we'll continue and try to find out. I'm hoping that if they do this temporary budget, that would include programs like that.
You
know, they're trying to go through everything and find, you know, pennies and quarters in the couch.
I want to say one last thing to Pat. Pat, you know, that gift that you have of optimism and that gift that's a strength. And even in these times when they can be when there can be challenges, really relying on that strength is just a key thing. For any human to do. So use your strengths. That's one last thing I want to say to you.
Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you, Pat. Always good to hear from you. Thank you. Yeah.
Patty, we do have more calls as well, but I think Esmeralda has a traffic thing.
Yes.
On the inbound side of the Skyway near 79th Street, that is closed now. There was an overturned semi. It had two big tanks of fuel, so there's a fuel spill right now.
We could do Semper Film on.
So it's a level one hazmat, but that is closed right now on the inbound side of the Skyway near 79th Street.
And back.
And I'm done.
Is it my turn? I didn't know.
Yeah, no,
I was talking to me.
No.
Sorry,
Patty was trying to tell me something off air, and just to give all of our listeners a little inside baseball to that. Yeah, you'd have no buttons to make that happen.
I'm sorry.
So, like, she was like, we have Semper Film planned for a little later this evening.
I was going to say, if we're having calls, I would like to make sure that everyone can get through and we can play Semper Film on 4th of July.
Yeah.
It would actually work really
We do
well.
Have quite a few phone calls, actually.
Yes.
Susan would be our next one.
So, Daphne, I told you we were going to be done at 1. Are you good for a...
I will stay here as long as we have people calling in. That's not a problem.
Okay. But let's talk to Susan.
Hi. So I heard Daphne say that, you know, people don't accept, you know, they have high expectations of life of the way it should be. And that's my husband, age 76. And as he gets older, he's more and more disappointed that the way it is, he thinks it should be, is not the way it is. And so he's angry and all the time. And it's really difficult for me to live with this.
Mm.
So I want your advice. I'm an optimistic person. He's never been optimistic. But as he ages, he gets more and more disappointed in life. And that disappointment comes out as anger and impatience. And it's so difficult to live with. So give me some advice on how I can cope with, I mean, you know, I love him, he loves me, but it's just hard.
Mm.
And by the way, that is so familiar to me, Susan, because my dad was always talking about, you know, how much nicer things used to be. And he had a lot of anger, and it was hard because he was such a loving guy. So I'm curious to hear what Dr. Daphne says, too.
Yeah, well, you know, so many places to go with this. You know, first of all, you know, blaming and complaining and judging and criticizing are really addictive. They're habits. And we have all been sort of had some implant in us to do that on a regular basis. It's a really big habit to break. So there's just no substitute for understanding that some people have a greater habit with that than others. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that, you know, what often we can, oftentimes anger shows up for people. And sometimes it is authentic anger. It's the true energy of boundaries. But more times than not, it's usually fear. That we're not going to be able to get what we want, that things are not going to work out the way that we thought they were going to work out. And so we become really scared and it shows up as anger. So a lot of times when we're working with somebody, first of all, it could be fear underneath that. The other thing is that a lot of sadness comes. We use sort of what jacket emotions, you know, is what we call them. So people can, in society for sure, men, if men are sad, they're called a lot of bad names. And so therefore they cover up their sadness and look angry. Women do the same thing, actually. When women get angry, they tend to not really look angry because they'll be called really bad things. And so what we do as women is we cry.
No.
Yeah, we'll cry.
We're all supposed to be nice.
Yeah, we're all supposed to be nice, right? So so really just having a sense of what that might be. And when people are sort of in that space, you know, I can imagine for you, Susan, when your husband's sort of doing that thing that he does, it's really difficult to interrupt that pattern in the moment. It's easier to talk about it when they're not in that pattern and sort of not in that trance and to say, hey, you know, yesterday you were kind of going on about this and I'm just wondering what's happening, you know, really sourcing some curiosity there can be helpful, and starting to shift the pattern can be helpful too. If you two are in a loving relationship, which it sounds like you are, which is fantastic, it can be an easier time to have those conversations and start shifting that. And then there's just absolutely no substitute for making a commitment together to give up blaming and complaining. That's a really big ride if you can get on that together, to just give up blaming and complaining about things and feeling our own power. So a lot of times what drives our blaming and complaining is just a sense of feeling helpless, feeling as though we can't influence things around us. And that's
I know he feels that way. I know he feels that way.
Yeah, yeah.
So, this is good advice, you know, and I wrote it down so I can remember, you know, and refer to it again. So,
well, thank you.
Thank you.
I feel very touched by that. That's that's very nice of you to say.
I appreciate every time Patty has you on, and I love your show, Patty.
Oh, thank you so much, Susan. Thank you.
Susan, I love you both, and thank you.
Thanks, Susan.
Write the station and tell them.
Thank you, Susan.
I might need some more positive notes from people this week. No, that's good advice, I think. And you mentioned, you know, some time distance. So because in the moment is when it's the most escalated. We were talking about de-escalating.
Yeah.
And sort of going after. Yeah, I could see that, because I think I never did that with my dad. I think it was always attacking what he was yelling about in the moment rather than in the in-between, right?
Yeah.
That's where you have more possibility.
Absolutely.
For progress, right?
Yeah, so we get into a trance. You know, I actually call it a trance. It feels like if anybody's sort of gone on a rant and you're sort of really blaming and complaining, like you really are in a trance. It's you're not in your own presence. You're not really present to what's actually happening in the moment. So a lot of times we try to reason with people. It's like trying to reason with a drunk person. You just really can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, because rage can be consuming.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are talking to, yes.
Sorry, Patty, real quick, we have a couple callers that wanted to react on Pat's phone call, so we probably should take those before the break.
Oh, sure.
Okay, cool. So we have Mike first then, reacting to Pat's phone call from a little bit ago.
My heart goes out to Pat. Hi, how are you? Yeah, my heart goes out to Pat. But I want her to understand something. She has a right to stay in her home because she's lived there for so long and she's comfortable.
Yes.
Her kids can get her one of these first alert buttons, number one. Number two, she can get a girl to come in and clean and somebody to help her. Why leave? This is her place. She loves it. You don't take a person who's lived there for 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, whatever, out of their familiar environment. They'll die. You can't do that. Her kids have to be educated that there's other things they can do. Mom can be fine. You know, there'll be somebody to help her. The state will provide it. I mean, or, you know, whatever. I mean, I just don't believe in that. Because,
right. You're saying there's a way.
I'm going to say something, Patty.
Yes.
There is a way. It's easy. Listen, Patty, I befriended a woman upstairs. She's 81 years old. She's a Italian woman, the sweetest woman you ever want to meet. She can't walk. Her son realized that really she belonged in a home, but he said, hell to the no. Excuse my language, but he went ahead. He provided that first alert type button that if she has a problem, she can push a button, or if she falls down, they have to research which one they want. And he got her help. There's a girl that comes 4 times a week to clean. But it's not the cleaning that's important. She's provided company. If she needs help in the bathtub and she gives, you know, sponge baths and stuff like that.
Right. Well, I think the important thing here is the important thing here is letting Pat know that there are tools, that there are ways to remain independent.
God bless you. You got it. Her kids have to get it. They're just trying to do the quick, simple way. That's not love. Love is respecting that their mother loves that house. Their eyes have to be opened.
Right. I think that they do love. They're probably trying to find their best way in. Thank you so much for calling. And I know there's a lot of love for Pat. Do we have another one, Craig?
We do. Sure. Jane is going to have some similar thoughts. Jane?
Hi. I'm very happy to speak to Pat, tell her under no circumstances should she enter a nursing home, not until she's maybe in her 90s. Maybe, because she won't last long no matter what age she enters. I'm going to call them what they are. They're places you go to end your life, to live to the end of your life, and it does shorten it. I've seen it. I've been in there, and I have. So he said all those things about alternate ways of staying home, so I'm not going to repeat them. But what she has to watch out for now is that someone, and I've seen this happen, will maybe at some point try to take power of attorney over her. So she should have a lawyer, because these are her children, and they may think they're acting on her behalf or have reasons. But she has to be protected against anyone taking power of attorney to do something to put her there. This can happen. I've seen it. And I don't know what else to tell her but to stay out of there, to find all the alternate ways. There's Lighthouse for the Blind. There's all kinds of things that she can call hospitals. They can refer her. As I said, I think it was Mike, he said all the alternate things there are. There's paratransit. For $3 each way, a van can take her to outside activities in that wheelchair, as long as she can wheel out her front door. She doesn't have a ramp. Install a ramp to her house so she can get in and out. She has to investigate every opportunity to stay in her house. If she needs groceries, her sons don't have to bring it. She can get connected to Peapod or some other type of grocery. There's a lot of variety. Mike mentioned some. Stays home. She hasn't got dementia. She's got her mind. That's all you need.
She sure does. I want to thank you so much. Those are all great points. And I think that we're going to keep taking calls and texts when we come back. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you.
More after this, of course. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Springfield. I am in the basement of our state's capital. And we have Dr. Daphne Scott. I know, is that weird? We're gonna let you go because we have I know I'm in the basement. I'll take a video while we're doing Semper Film during some of the breaks. We have you watched the movie with us on Friday night with the Marines.
I did. I have to admit that is just one of my favorite movies. It really is.
I do too.
I know. I hate to admit it, but...
Why do you hate to? I thought it was funny how much the guys were all laughing, except for Sergeant Paraka. I think it's coming up in the interview, but they were laughing at the at Demi Moore's hair, which I thought
fine. Also her character. Who was the guy that came in that kind of joined us like mid movie? It was so funny.
Oh, that's Esmeralda's boyfriend.
That's your boyfriend.
That's Esmeralda's.
He is so funny, Esmeralda. I mean, he was cracking me up because he really picked up on how they had written Demi Moore's character. Joe in the movie, and what a goofball, that kind of a screw up they made her character. I've seen this movie so many times and I never realized it. And he's like, classic what? Joe.
But it's a great character. Haven't you known someone that just tries so hard and can never? They just, I mean, you know, they're just so annoying. She kind of reminds me of Hillary Clinton a little bit.
Oh, right? Come on.
Yeah,
no.
But like she's a little bit like, she's a little uptight. She's like, this is the way it should be done. Okay, fine, I'll do it this way. I mean, there's a little bit of like, you know, that's that thing that people hate about Hillary is what people hate about Joe, is all I'm saying.
Well, that might be possible. I just thought it was great that he caught on to this and sort of named it. You know, he called it. And I was like, oh, that's so true. And then in the scene
it's so Joe.
And then in the scene when, you know, she convinces Tom Cruise to go after Jack Nicholson's character. And then there's a scene where she pulls him aside and is like, you know, don't do it. If you can't get him to say it, don't do it. You know, that's about when Esmeralda's guy goes, classic Joe. So it was really
fun. That's my Colin.
Yeah, it's your Colin. It was really great. So I do love
this
movie.
It was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, we want to thank Lou Malnati's for supplying some great pizza for that party on Friday. Every month we watch movies, military movies with Marines, and that's coming up after the news. We've got Sergeant K, Sergeant Paraka, and Sergeant Seidel, and their thoughts on A Few Good Men, which was really interesting because I wasn't sure how much they would like it compared to Heartbreak Ridge and Stripes, because obviously those movies are, one, they're comedies pretty much, and two, there's action. This one, complete opposite, courtroom drama, and there's a lot of what it means to be a Marine. Are there fanatical Marines? Are there, you know, what does it mean to correct somebody? Are there code reds? There was some really great conversations.
Yeah, what is it to take an order, right? I mean, that was really the whole hook of the movie. I just like that I got to watch the movie with Marines.
Yeah.
That was really, that was awesome.
I mean, who gets to do that?
We do.
WGN Radio gives us that opportunity.
Yes,
wanna
they
thank
do.
The Marine Corps. Want to thank them for you know, joining us. They kind of laugh at me because I'm watching them watch the movie, and it makes me happy to just sort of hang out with them for a few hours every month. And next month I told Sergeant Seidel he gets to pick the movie, so we'll see what that one's going to be next.
I wonder what he's going to pick.
Oh, no. Well, coming up after the news, it is Semper Film. We watch military movies with Marines, and we want to thank again Lou Malnati's for supplying the pizza. Dr. Daphne Scott, how can people find your work?
You can find me on my website, 3Ws, Daphne-Scott.com. You can also listen to my podcast, The Super Fantastic Leadership Show, that's on iTunes. So, and on Twitter, at Daphne Scott.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And we'll see you again soon. When are you traveling again? We're doing an on-air production meeting.
I'm actually grounded for the next week. So the rest of this week and the next week. And then I don't get the road again until after that. So we can do another show.
Next Wednesday. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Daphne will be back next week.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I am in the Allstate Showcase studio, and I'm always excited to do Semper Film. We were inspired to do this by our friend Sergeant Paraka. He was he joined us back in the winter. I think it was like maybe February when you guys had invited me to go to the Marine Corps Recruit Depot in San Diego. And it was there we found out you had never seen A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
So I think it's apropos that was the movie we chose for tonight. And joining us is also Sergeant Seidel and Sergeant K and Elliot Serrano. I want to ask before we get started, and Craig is here as well. Could not see the movie because you were at a wedding, but you have seen the movie.
Yeah, it was a great wedding.
And you've heard me do the closing monologue from Jack Nicholson.
Yes.
So I know that was like seeing it recently.
It was exactly the same.
It was exactly the same. Yeah. But it was a fun experience tonight. I want to thank Lou Malnati's for providing such great pizza. Do you guys enjoy the pizza?
Absolutely.
Is that really why you come? It's not really for the movie, is it?
No, free food, definitely.
It's for the
food.
For the Lou Malnati's. How about you, Elliot? Do you come for the food or the movie?
Okay. So
which one's yours? Let me see.
Am I there?
You're there.
Am I here?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, okay. So, yes, I can say I come for the food. The problem is when I'm around these guys who are, like, very fit, it's very difficult for me to stuff my face.
Well, Sergeant Paraka was mentioning that every time he comes here, he feels like he puts on 5 pounds. Do you do any extra workouts after our Semper Film evenings?
You know, I tell myself I'm going to, then whether it happens or not is another story.
Well, you will. You're in great shape. And this has been your second time for Sergeant K and Sergeant Seidel.
Yes.
And thank you for coming back. back.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Enjoy.
Well, this was the first one we've done. Sergeant Parak has been here for each one of them, and we've mostly done lighter movies. Stripes, obviously a comedy. Heartbreak Ridge, just funny. Yes. And this is a courtroom drama. Have you seen very many courtroom dramas, Sergeant Parak?
My wife and I watch a lot of court shows.
Do you?
On our free time. We don't get a lot of free time, but we've recently watched a show called How to Get Away with Murder, which has a lot of courtroom stuff.
So, absolutely. Well, I think Elliot and I really enjoyed the moment where, how far into the movie were we? About half an hour? Half an hour, Elliot, yeah. When he said, oh, that's Tom Cruise.
Right.
We all just wanted to hug you. Because there's something really sweet about, like, not knowing that that was, I mean, it's just, there's something nice about, like, we don't need to know who he is. It's not a necessity in life.
Yeah, it's not.
It's really not.
He puts his pants on one leg at a time, just like I do.
And so. Apparently he has just one front tooth, was what you guys were all...
Well, duh, because his teeth are a little bit out of line. So it once you see it, it's hard to unsee it.
Yeah. Line, you can Google that. So what did you think about this, Sergeant Seidel, as a military movie? Would you call this a military movie or more... I think it's probably more of a courtroom drama?
No, I would say it's more military.
Really?
Yeah. It's obviously... takes place most of it in a courtroom, but the context behind pretty much everything that's said in the courtroom is because they're in the military,
right?
Especially the ending. I mean, that if it had nothing to do with the military, the ending would not have been anything like it was.
That's true.
The ending, how much do you kind of agree with maybe the basic sentiment? Maybe not to the extent that the main character takes it in that moment, but some of the things he says, I think a lot of it rings true to Patty and I, who don't serve, but I'm curious for you guys how that feels.
Well, I was saying right before we started recording, so when you have a very decorated Marine colonel like you did in that movie, especially back, you're talking about a Marine that served in Vietnam and now is serving in a peacetime, when he's got this guy that's been in the Navy for 9 months, basically calling him out on every little thing, at some point he's going to blow. Would he blow like that in a real-life courtroom scenario? I don't know. But for me, that's what made the movie click, because it really didn't matter if it was in a courtroom or not.
Right, with those sentiments. But Sergeant K, I was wondering about this. Some of the things that he says that, you need me on that wall, you want me on that wall. And there really are, I've said this before, you guys are the ones that do a job that most of us can't or won't do. Is there sort of a resentment to people who don't get what you go through to keep this country safe, Sergeant K? I see you shaking your head. I asked Sergeant K, Sergeant Seidel. Do you think there, and I'm asking if you do, but do you ever sense any resentment from those in uniform that people just don't get it?
Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Is my mic on?
It is. I can turn you up.
I can't hear me.
You can't hear you?
No.
It's your headphones.
Is it?
It might be your headphones.
I don't know. Okay, I'll turn it up. All right, you turn it down.
There you go. You turn it down. There you go.
Thank you.
No worries. Equipment difficulties. Yeah. That happens everywhere, doesn't it?
All right, now it sounds a lot better now. I would have to say yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, like with us being recruiters,
right?
They see us on the streets. A lot of people thank us for like what we're doing. Like, hey, it wasn't for like the military, you guys, we wouldn't be here today. We do see that a lot. But then,
do we take you for granted? I guess is kind of for the most part.
I don't know, man.
he's on the spot.
Do we take for granted the extreme to which maybe some of you guys have to go every so often to protect us? Because that is really the message at the end of the movie, is that he's gone to these extremes, but really it was for our benefit. And maybe
in his mind it is.
In his mind for sure, but at times, especially certainly during war times, maybe some of that happens and it really is just to protect us.
Okay.
I know, I put you on the spot.
I'm starting to think like politics and everything like that.
Right. Well, that's got to be, those are always dicey conversations to get into.
I just don't want to get any hate mail after what I say.
Right.
So,
and I completely appreciate that.
No, in what I've seen, a lot of people, they do take the military for granted. Sometimes they see us as, we're trying to flaunt like what we've done if they see us in uniforms and everything like that. I've noticed that. And they're just like, you're trying to show off and everything like that.
Oh, that's a shame.
And I've seen it happen personally with like going to get lunch really quick and going back to the office, and people just don't like it. It's like, I got to wear this every day. I'm not trying to show off. I'm just
doing a job.
I'm just doing my job. I'm not looking to get any kind of special recognition.
Right.
But especially like during Vietnam, they didn't get a lot of recognition for what they did. They
Right.
It was, they got called, they had to do their job, and a lot of people resented
it. And when you mentioned politics a moment ago and whether or not people would send hate mail, that I think that was such a tumultuous time in the world. And we kind of are going through that now. I think maybe that's some of the tension. People who aren't quite getting, they're seeing them and us. And the military, I think, has got to be sort of divided. So when a movie like A Few Good Men came out, I think a lot of people were in, you know, drawn in, one, by the dialogue, which is is so much fun, but also, you know, does that really happen? I think a lot of people wondered, would they really haze somebody, or because somebody couldn't to cut it as a Marine? I was wondering if someone isn't doing well, Sergeant Paraka, if they're deficient, I think was one of the ways you had put it. Mm-hmm. How far will the Marine Corps go to try to continue to make them a Marine?
Well, if they are you asking as a recruit or as a Marine already?
As if they're, like, maybe they're in boot camp, mm-hmm. and they're not quite cutting it. Maybe they don't have the physical abilities or even intellectually to cut it.
Yeah, Elliot and I were speaking about this during the movie when we were on a break. And really, there's only two reasons why they wouldn't make it through boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
Either they give up on themselves or they're injured. There's a medical reason why they can't finish,
right.
or they're going to quit.
Right, and so, there's a process to which that they, you know, the Marine Corps tries to figure out what to do next, right?
Yeah, so let me tell you why those are the only two reasons. Because we have Marine Corps recruiters, and they put them through a strenuous process as far as filling out the applications, screening them to see if they're medically, physically qualified, and they train with them every week for anywhere from a month to 365 days. They're training with the recruiters. The recruiters are preparing them for recruit training. By the time they get to the Yellow Footprints at the depot and mm-hmm. meet their drill instructors, they're ready to go through that training.
Right.
So they make it through all that training, and if they quit, that's it.
That's it.
If they get injured, they have the opportunity to stay in training. They'll continue the knowledge. They'll continue the history. They'll go to their medical appointments. They'll heal, and they'll recycle in training.
Right. And have you ever had anyone, Sergeant K, anywhere you've been stationed that, you kind of feel bad for somebody who isn't quite cutting it and maybe just – they're just treading water till they're done with their, what is it called? Enlistment?
Yes.
I had one Marine. She got discharged early mm-hmm. only because she was not cutting it
right.
to the standards that she had uphold within the Marine Corps.
Right.
She kind of did her own thing.
That's got to be weird when someone's doing their own thing, because the Marine Corps, you kind of think of, like you said, you follow orders or people die, right?
Yes.
So when someone's like not quite cutting it or doing their own thing doesn't even sound like a part of the Marine Corps ideal.
No. Like, she would show up to work in uniform,
mm-hmm.
but she would have her earrings in and refuse to take them out. And I'm talking camis, not
right.
dress uniform. She would, like, hey, this is what we got to get done today.
Right.
And she would just go off in the motor pool, do her own little thing.
Yeah, it doesn't. That sounds like she wanted to get, like, a, you know, maybe a temp job somewhere instead of being a Marine.
Well, after we took the different disciplinary actions we had to in order to correct everything, mm-hmm. so verbal counselings, formal counselings, all the different types of counselings we did, we actually just, it sounds bad, but hey, we're going to move you to another part of the unit
right.
to work for them until we can get everything ready to get you discharged and on your way out of here.
And what was her reaction to that?
She just wanted to leave.
She was done anyway.
She was like, I don't care. Just get me out of here.
Well, that's a shame. So. But I mean, it makes sense. You've got all people from all walks of life. You're going to get somebody who just isn't, it's not their thing. It's not what they were cut out to do or what they thought they were going to end up doing. We are talking Semper Film. We watch military movies with Marines. We have Sergeant Paraka, Sergeant Seidel, and Sergeant K. Also joining us is Elliot Serrano, who Facebook Lived a lot of it. So when you follow him on Facebook, you can catch a lot of this right there and go through his feed and finally some of the video we have there. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and it's Semper Film Night. I got to watch A Few Good Men with our Marines. Our Marines. I say that like ours, like you're just mine. You're just our Marine, Sergeant Paraka.
Yes, happy to be.
And having, inspired this event, this monthly get-together, what did you think of A Few Good Men overall?
I thought it was a pretty interesting movie. Now, movies that are old school, I'm kind of reluctant to watch just because they don't hold my attention very well.
And by old school, you mean black and white.
I mean anything. I mean, anything before like 1992.
So this is your cutoff now, is A Few Good Men?
Yeah, you know.
You were born.
It held my interest. So the older the movies get, the less they hold my interest, just because I don't really understand what's going on.
The cultural references, hairstyles.
Mm-hmm. I like the hairstyles. They're ripping on Demi Moore for her hairstyle. I thought it was pretty, so.
Oh, that's sweet. I thought it was fine. It was different for Demi Moore, I think, it was also kind of the shape of her hat, wasn't it, Sergeant Seidel?
I don't know what she had going on. I didn't think anything different of it, though.
Well, there was a moment where we had joining us as well were Dr. Daphne Scott, Esmeralda, and, of course, Elliot was there. And they started chatting, and it was the first time it's happened, Craig, because when we watched Heartbreak Ridge and Stripes, like, it's a quiet, like, taking it all in situation. And these guys started chatting, and I'm like, this isn't how we watch our military movies.
We watch these quietly, guys. Yeah. I don't know if you know this.
They're not invited back.
I know.
I was whispering Esmeralda and
whispering is still speaking.
I'm just saying, this was the first time. And that's when I said, you don't see the Marines talking.
I do remember you saying that.
Yes, I did.
And none of you guys were speaking.
No.
Okay.
I would think that, yes, well, but I would think that when you guys hang out, you know, when you're doing any sort of recreational, because when we were at Miramar, they had that great social club. I don't know how many locations that you guys have that are similar, but I would think that it's fun, but it's also kind of like we're also around other officers or other Marines, and you kind of are self-conscious. Is that kind of accurate, Sergeant Seidel?
I would say not really. I don't know what club you're talking about, but usually on a Marine Corps installation, you'll have the enlisted club and the officer club. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of separate. I mean, it is not kind of. It is separated.
Okay.
And you'll find in the enlisted club, it's pretty rambunctious. Everybody's speaking with their mind because it is just the enlisted Marines in there. Mm-hmm. So I can't really compare it to what you're talking about because I'm not sure. But I will say in an environment where it is enlisted, officer, kind of mixed everything, you will be a little bit on your P's and Q's, kind of making sure that you obviously abiding by the rules, but you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so
sure,
you're just gonna kind of keep it quiet.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that club that Patty was referring to is the SMP club, single Marine program.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
Is that what that club is? It's just single Marine program. Is that that's just one, like, kind of a rec hall for just single Marines?
Yes.
It's got pool tables and video games.
Wait, this is like a dating situation?
No. It's just a place for single Marines to go since they don't have like an actual house. They have
got it.
Room,
okay.
So it gives them a place to hang out. They can go there to
You don't
barbecue.
Mean single is in their dating situation.
Oh, I thought about you meant too.
Well,
it is.
As in, they're not married.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So it is singles.
Okay. All right.
So because they're not married, they live in the barracks. They don't have a stove. They don't have, you know, stuff that married people have.
Sure.
So they can't just have a pool table in their garage like I can. So they go to the single Marine Program Center to go play pool. And to
but
go
they
hang
don't
out.
Go to meet other singles.
No. I mean, no. They could, but I mean, I don't think that's the
intent. But it does sound like that, doesn't it? It sounds exactly like that.
Single Marine Program.
That's not the intent.
I feel like there's a lot of people in Chicago that would also like to attend a single Marine
program. I would totally hang out with a single Marine.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not single. What were you going to say, Sergeant Seidel?
No, that's definitely not the intent. I can tell you, because I was in Miramar. I know exactly what you're talking about now. I was in Miramar when I was single. And I would get off of work, and it was either go sit in my room by myself or go to the S&P.
S&P.
And it's
funny. She's been there for a while, the woman that runs that place, hasn't she?
I couldn't tell you. I was never stationed there. I've only seen her twice on both of the workshops.
She was there. So, okay. Yeah, I'm not sure what her name is, but she was telling us about like all the sort of fun games that they have. And like
I can remember one Friday. I just went there because I didn't really have anything to do.
It's no drinking, by the way, Craig. It's a booze-free zone.
Got it.
Yep.
Is it?
It is. Oh.
Yeah, that was what I was fascinated by.
Maybe not, I've never been there.
Maybe not for Sergeant Baraka. Maybe
not. No, he's never been there socially.
But they have things, like the one Friday I showed up just randomly, and they had this huge, huge pool tournament. And they, you know, I don't know how many pool tables they have now, but they probably had six or eight pool
six,
tables
I would
there.
Say six or eight is accurate.
Yeah. But yeah, they just made this whole bracket. You'd pay $5 to get in, and obviously it was a pool, so winner takes not all of it because second place got their money back.
Right.
But yeah, they do cool stuff like that to keep Marines entertained, really, I think.
Right, some place to blow off some steam.
Yeah.
It's where Top Gun is supposed to be, is at Miramar, and she was talking about like where
got it.
Where they have volleyball, which would be where Goose and And
if I'm going by Top Gun, though, Maverick, they definitely met ladies.
They definitely met ladies.
They definitely still met ladies.
There was another element I was thinking about, and obviously the JAG whore is totally different. That's and it's the Navy for one thing. Yeah. Are you familiar? I was wondering, and I'm guessing you haven't had an experience with this, but I was wondering about the military courts. How do they get jurors? I mean, do they just draw on local?
We have jury duty just like anybody else. Yep. You can get.
What are you laughing at, Sergeant K?
Nothing.
Well, he knows a story that I've told him. So I have actually been selected for jury duty inside the Marine Corps.
Okay.
I didn't actually sit in, basically because the jury is of 12. So they'd always.
By the way, in the movie, it's 9. Did you know that? I was wondering about that because he says seven men and two women are. That's when the.
I never counted.
Yeah. No, he says the guy, the colonel who takes his own life.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for a movie from 1992.
But no, because on this jury specifically, there was 12. So they gathered 24 so that you could get screened by the prosecution defense.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for the first 2 days, and then they decided that they didn't want me there. So
he wasn't good enough.
Yeah. Not good enough to be a juror.
Which I will say didn't hurt my feelings.
No, you want to be on a jury? Is it usually Marine? I mean, those were Marine and Naval officers, I think, that were on that jury, it looked like.
Yeah, that's the one thing that threw me off. I don't know. I can't speak clearly on it, but I can tell you for the case I'm talking about, it was a Marine PFC that was on trial,
mm-hmm.
and it was all Marines.
All Marines, right.
Now, it was a mix between enlisted officers. It was a mix between male and female, but I didn't see anybody from the Navy on that. Right. So
I think why is because the Guantanamo Bay base, it was a naval base.
True. Good point. Interesting. Actually,
yeah, very good point.
Interesting. Well, and there was also, when we talk about Guantanamo Bay and being someplace that is being portrayed in the movie as, you know, lives are on the line, and this is where we're right on the front with the enemy right there on the island, is it kind of the way it's portrayed that the Cubans might want to pick off somebody in a nice white dress uniform. But you know, in the opposite end of what we asked, you know, are there places where, you know, things are more serious, where things are more lax? Do you ever see sort of a little bit of that, you know, laid back attitude? I mean, you guys are all recruiters. You still have to maintain that, you know, the level of, you know, Marine code.
Professionalism.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Is it? I mean, well, having served other places, you're thinking about it, and you don't have to. You don't want anyone. If you don't want anyone to worry about it.
Honestly, you don't really let that fall down.
Right.
Obviously, some places are going to be a little less than some. I can tell you, my time in Iraq and Afghanistan, obviously, it was nothing like when I was serving over here. Over there, they just want you to be as stress free as possible. Obviously, because you already got enough stress going on. Here, the only stress you got is what time I'm getting off work. You know what I mean? So there's a big difference there.
Right.
That's really all I would have to say on that.
Well, and then to the other extreme in this movie, and this comes up a couple times, Sergeant K, was the idea of the fanatical Marine. Do you come across people who, like, just take it so seriously? I mean, that's kind of... I'm going to take that as a yes from Sergeant Seidel's snort.
He's sitting right there.
Oh, they call that Paraka.
Wow, they call it Sergeant Paraka. I wouldn't. He does not seem to have any elements
what
of what we saw.
It?
Them.
What time is it? What time
it
is?
It's true.
10:30.
Everybody says I'm stuck up. I don't know why.
That you're stuck up?
Yeah. I wouldn't use the word stuck up, but he's definitely. Oh, I was going to say he's definitely a Marine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for sure, no doubt about it. No, it's nothing against him, obviously, but. You know, every time I talk to him, he's definitely professional. You know what I mean?
So were you surprised that he agreed to do something like Semper Film, hang out and watch movies and eat pizza?
The pizza part, yeah. I was surprised by that.
I bet you he's seen all these movies.
He's just lying. Looking for an excuse to hang out on the yeah. There you
my
go.
Friday night's more interesting.
Well, with that in mind then, were you drawn to the Marines because you saw a little bit of yourself in what the Marines stand for? Or have you become more, you know, through your experience, grown as somebody who is really dedicated to being in the way you maintain yourself, the way you present yourself, Sergeant Paraka?
That's an interesting question. I was drawn to the Marines.
Well, because the naval office was closed, wasn't it?
Because
I remember your stories.
So, Navy office was closed. It was a Saturday. Marines are always working on Saturdays, mm-hmm. so I went in there with the intentions of asking what time the Navy office opened.
Right.
And next thing you know, I'm on a plane. But now, the reason...
You gotta fix that.
Okay, so the thing is, the recruiters gave me this... made it sound like I couldn't quite do it. Like, it wasn't easy. Like, it was, hey, why should I let you join my Marine Corps?
Sure.
And I'm like, well, wait a minute.
Right.
Yeah. I want this now.
Yeah. So they challenged your manliness. I don't mean to put it that way, yeah. But they challenged your ability, and you felt that you wanted to rise to that.
I think
I think they did that on purpose.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Oh yeah.
Can you feel that? Can you sense that from somebody that you're talking, that someone's curious about joining the Marine Corps? Can you sense what's going to be the thing that will help sort of, you know, maximize their personality and blend it with the Marine Corps decision? Oh yeah.
So I've been a recruiter for 2 years. I can tell you, I'm not like a mind reader, but I've gotten really good at reading people. And you can definitely tell just by probably 5-10 minutes of talking to this individual what you can bring up, what you can say to make their whatever it is click.
Right.
And usually it is the, you know what, you know, the Marine Corps doesn't really need you. We're actually in a drawdown. We're getting smaller. We only need the best of the best. So, hey, man, if I can just get your name and your phone number, maybe I'll call you next month. And it's like, oh, wait, hold on now. You know, you're sitting here telling me I can't do this. Now I'm really interested.
They're almost insulted. So you were almost insulted, Sergeant Praka. Yeah,
kind of. I just wanted information.
We are hanging out for Semper Film. Joining us tonight, Sergeant Praka, Sergeant Seidel, and Sergeant K. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's Semper Film Night. We watch military movies with Marines. Joining us is Sergeant Praka, Sergeant Seidel, Sergeant K. And I feel like giving you a title, Elliot, but the Chief Geek Officer, Elliot Serrano.
Jedi Master.
CGO.
That's as close to military as I'll ever get.
I want to make sure that we talk about a couple things that that came up during the movie. Just right in the opening credits, you know, it opens with the drama, the sort of mystery that starts. But then they also have the rifles. I don't even know what you call the flipping and twirling of the rifles.
The Marine Corps Silent Drill Team.
The Silent Drill Team.
Yes.
And I asked if you thought that. Well, I think Sergeant K wondered if that was really that group, or if they were actors, because you were looking at the uniforms and you thought they looked accurate.
They did, yeah.
Yeah.
They looked pretty good in general.
But they didn't look like they were
to
snuff.
I'm going to Google it.
You're going to Google?
I think if they would have paid that many actors to do that, it would have took way too long.
Mm-hmm.
I think they actually got the Marine Corps drill team to come out and do that.
It'd be way cheaper, more efficient.
It would be completely
more effective. Yeah.
Which would indicate that the Marine Corps gave their sort of their blessing to the movie.
Yeah, and one more thing, actually, since we're talking about it. So the first band that came out, the ones in the red jacket.
Yes.
That's not just like a regular Marine Corps band. That's the president's own. That's like...
What was that?
Commandant's own.
Oh, yeah, sorry. The Commandant's own, not the president's own.
You can correct. Why wouldn't you correct him on the air?
You could have.
Yeah. See, he's not stuck up. He didn't want
to.
No.
He didn't want
to
make him
look. Tried to feed that.
But he didn't want to make you look bad.
No. The president's own is a drum and bugle corps. So, no, that's not what I'm talking about. It is the Commandant's own. But I think the way it looked like, the way they were marching, the way they performed everything, it looked like the legit thing.
Yeah.
Because Sergeant Kay said something, and then I started really watching it, and it really just looked like the real thing.
I am going to say, I know when that part played, who was it that commented?
Oh.
Shouldn't we be standing right now?
No, well, Sergeant Praka, they were wondering if Sergeant Praka should, because he is wearing his uniform.
Because it seemed like it's so conditioned.
Now he's wishing he had.
No.
It was the wrong song.
It was the wrong song.
It was.
What song should they have been playing?
Stand up, you would be playing like the Marines hymn or the national anthem.
And would you have stood up if that had been in the movie?
Well, no, because it's a movie.
It's a movie.
Really, though, like a little of you didn't want to stand up if they had
not
played
that.
So, okay.
It's like you're conditioned, though. It's like a Pavlovian thing.
Right.
Sergeant K, have you found the what you were looking for?
No, I didn't.
I'm sorry.
He gave up.
He gave up on that?
Yeah. It took more than a minute. I was like,
no. I mean, there are different jobs, obviously, that Marines need to have filled. So the Marine Corps, what are the lawyers? What's the branch of lawyers?
It is JAG. I actually wanted to make that comment when you said something.
I thought it was Navy.
It is Navy. It's Navy and Marine Corps. I actually have a really good buddy. We went to boot camp together. He went through the enlisted commissioning program, and he's a JAG officer as a captain right now. So it is Navy and Marine Corps that are JAG. The same thing.
Is there a sort of, you know, do you guys have sort of an attitude toward the JAG because they're lawyers? I mean, in the movie, there's kind of the idea that they're just playing softball games and not really.
I wouldn't say that. I would say, honestly, just like any other type of Marine, whether it's infantry, aircraft maintenance, whether it's a military police officer, he's still a Marine. Right. So you know that Marine's going to do his job the best that he can. So honestly, I've never really thought about it. I think if for some unknown reason I was sitting on the other side of the table or the other side of the courtroom, maybe I would think something. But just watching the movie, I think they did a pretty good job portraying it.
The JAG.
Yeah, the Marine. The Marine Corps officer, the captain, the one that was playing basketball, doing the same thing as the Navy officer. They're just kind of blown off steam.
Sure.
I would also say that most Marines won't interact with Marine Corps or Navy lawyers unless they're in trouble.
Oh, well, why is that?
Well, if you're in trouble, you get a lawyer. But
otherwise, why hang out with them?
Well, no, they're always busy. They work really long hours, and there are tons of paperwork. They're always busy. They don't have time to do some of the things that other Marines that work normal shifts do.
That being said, the basketball and the softball thing, I think, was a little
goofy. That was just to give Tom Cruise an opportunity to
hit some softballs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, that was a 12-inch softball. It was a hard softball. It's always, for me, it's always nice to see. Because in Chicago, they play 16-inch softball.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, it's not my favorite because I have very small hands. I can't play that one. Sergeant K, what were some of the things that jumped out at you about A Few Good Men? Was there anything that, because you said you'd seen the movie before. Was it fun to watch again?
It was. The last time I saw it, I was in high school, so I didn't really.
Oh, you hadn't been a Marine yet?
Yes.
So what was it like watching it as a Marine?
Well, now when I watch military movies, I'm always trying to nitpick and see what's wrong with them.
Okay.
Like Sergeant Paraka pointed out that
he saluted indoors.
Who saluted?
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, that was easy to tell. But ribbons.
Wait a minute. You don't salute indoors?
No.
Not as a Marine. No. But.
Wait.
Unless you're under arms.
Unless you have a cover on. What? However, you're talking about somebody who was just discharged out of the Marine Corps.
Well, not officially. They were. That was the sentence.
Always nasty.
Well, I mean,
it was symbolic.
It was, but yes, as a Marine, if you're uncovered, which means you're not wearing your hat. It's not called a hat. It's called a cover. But
cover.
If you're not wearing, did I say hat?
I haven't said hat, have I?
I don't know. All right, don't want to get people confused. So if you're not wearing a cover, you don't salute. Period. You don't. Now, if you're holstering a weapon. If you're on duty, you're wearing a cover, so then you would salute, but not in that movie like that.
What else did you want to nitpick, Sergeant K?
Oh, the ribbons.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering about that.
The colonel, when they were having their discussion at the table, I had noticed that he had his combat action ribbon upside down.
That's annoying.
What?
Yeah, that's annoying. Well, that would be annoying for anybody in the military.
No, sure, of course.
Because, I mean, I've seen Sergeant Paraka go looking through an entire hotel trying to find a ribbon when we were leaving.
How
for
would
a bus.
That happen? Would they have somebody on the film that kind of knows and
well,
then they just
Well, you definitely have
mistake?
A consultant.
Yeah.
Well, you know, surprisingly enough, I see Marines out in the fleet that have had that issue before. And
where
I've
they,
corrected them for having the ribbon.
How fun is that moment?
Well, because it's red on one side and it's blue on the other, and it's very easy to get it mixed up, especially when you have a lot of ribbons like that gentleman did.
Yeah.
I mean, I only have
You didn't call him a gentleman. He's just an actor. He was great. I actually love the... What's the character's name, Elliot? The guy who kills himself?
Not Hendrix. It's J.T. Walsh, of course.
Yeah, I love J.T. Walsh. He's so good.
He's a great character.
Yeah. But he's so good. It was creepy when he just pops up in the backseat. It seems like such a military moment. Like, this guy's killed people. Like, he was all stealthy. Did you have another one, Sergeant K, that you wanted to nitpick?
I'm trying to think. We did the saluting, the ribbons.
Mm-hmm. The band.
I got one.
The band.
So the way they address their officers, that lieutenant junior grade, mm-hmm. the way he addressed the lieutenant commander, I'm not in the Navy, but I can almost assure you that that would never happen in today's Navy or Marine Corps, the way that Lieutenant Junior Grade addressed the Lieutenant Commander.
Yeah.
So he was really informal with her. He didn't stand at attention. He didn't salute her. He talked to her like
an apple.
Yeah, he's kicking.
Yeah, it's supposed to be part of, like, it's a character, I think it's supposed to be a character establishing
was,
moment
yeah.
to show he's kind of a jerk and has a disregard for even being a Navy officer. I know.
Yeah, but that would never happen. He would get lit up and
very
yelled
quickly.
At.
Would there be a code red for him?
Not for officers.
No, not for officers. Oh, no. We've been hanging out with Semper Phil, our Marines, Sergeant Paracca, Sergeant Seidel, and Sergeant K. Before I let you go, I told Sergeant Seidel he could pick our next movie. Do you want to pick our movie for next month?
You want me to pick it right now?
No, you don't have to. You can, email me. But do you have a couple off the top of your head that you're mulling over?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. You can send me an email.
Okay, I will. All right. For sure.
Appreciate that.
Someone's phone went off.
I know. We get yelled at. I know. It was me. I turned one on. I have guests coming and they're waiting in the lobby, so I apologize. I felt bad making Sergeant Paracca wait earlier because my phone was on.
It's no big deal. I was late, so that's why I was
waiting. Oh, that's fine. You were driving 250 hours today.
Miles.
The miles.
That would be impossible.
Yeah, I think you said hours.
I wish I had 250 hours in one day.
Yeah.
That's some good math we've got going on there. How can people find out more if they know someone that maybe wants to join the Marines? Where can we send them?
Address is 6344.
So the first thing I would recommend if you're just trying, because a lot of young people, they're kind of hesitant to go straight to a recruiter.
Yep.
Go on YouTube. The Marine Corps actually has a lot of videos on there. Second to that, I would say Marines.com. Third to that, I would say any recruiting office. There's a lot of United States Marine recruiters on Facebook. There's so many ways. Literally go on Google, type Marine recruiter, and put the city that you're in.
All right.
They will put you in touch.
And let us know when you have any events coming up, too, so that we can let people know where to find you out and about. I know you have a thing, but I don't think it's going to air for your Rosemont event. You're going to be in Rosemont. Do you have another one coming up?
No, we have one going on right now.
What do you have going on?
So we actually have the Vietnam Memorial Wall down on the east lawn of Soldier Field, right next to the Gold Star Family Memorial. So if there's any Vietnam vets out there, or you know any Vietnam vets, they can actually go see the wall. They have a database where you can look up the names to see if your buddy's name is on the wall, and you can go put it on a piece of paper and actually touch the names.
Oh, thank you for telling us about that. Appreciate it. We will have our friends back next month. Sergeant Paracca, Sergeant Seidel, Sergeant K, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you
for having us.
Of course. Look forward to it again. Elliot, don't go anywhere. More after this on 720 WGN. Wake me up. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I will be here all morning and part of the day, I'm guessing, in Springfield. And I had a great time talking to our legislators, but I really had a great time talking to Daphne Scott, and I thought we should go ahead and give her a call and keep talking to her because I felt like we sent her home early. It was great interviewing our Marines. And again, I keep calling them our Marines like they're mine, but they are, of course, our Marines as Americans, and they do a great job. And Semper Fi is
one. Hi, you reached Daphne. Please leave a message and speak clearly. Your voice is being transcribed and sent to my email inbox. That way I don't have to call in to get my messages. It's awesome. I'll return your call as soon as humanly possible. Please speak
as soon
clearly.
As humanly possible.
Your voicemail
as though, like,
being
she has some
transcribed
other, like, alien
by
possible.
Email.
It's being transcribed. We're being transcribed, Craig. This is Patty Vasquez.
Craig Collins.
And Esmeralda Leon.
Nice.
Very good. Yes, you have to make sure that you speak clearly because we are being transcribed. When we do Daphne's, we should have listeners call in and see how their voice to text goes. And, you know, ask Daphne how the transcription goes.
I do also like holding words out. That seems like a really good idea.
Well, I asked her if exclamation point is just typed out the words, or does it do exclamation point? Like if I said, "We loved having you on the show, Daphne!" Exclamation point.
Oh.
See?
I wonder if it can tell inflection, too, like if it would do in all caps if we scream stuff.
Oh, that's a good question. What do you want to scream?
I don't know. Why'd you leave, Daphne? All right.
Exclamation point. Can you do Spanish on transcription? Can you do, like, Esmeralda, like upside down question mark?
Oh, yeah. Well, I wonder also if I just start speaking in Spanish, si van a saber cómo escribirlo bien.
Yeah.
Wow.
Question mark.
Exclamation point.
Yeah, I want to know if that translated.
We'll find out.
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed she didn't answer.
I know. Well, but then we get that wonderful outgoing message.
That's true.
It's kind of fun.
And we get to get this transcribed.
Yes.
We should get copies. Can we please, whoever's transcribing, can we get copies?
Right. But is it transcribed? Is it automated?
Yeah,
it's a digital
robot.
Voice
yeah.
to text?
Right. How many times have we called her? Like 3 or 4? Could we get a list of all of the transcriptions?
Right, it should be in an email. It goes right to an email. Form,
yeah, Daphne, forward us all of our voicemails. We want to share that.
Por favor.
We asked excitedly.
Yeah, does it transcribe sarcasm?
Exclamation point.
This is the best email ever. You guys, I wandered around the Capitol and took Facebook Live videos. So you can go on my Facebook page and see me just wandering around. I kind of scared myself because I went by the speaker's office and I could have sworn all the lights were off. And when I came back later, they were on. And that freaked me out.
It's a ghost. It's a ghost.
Were there a lot of people?
There's just the state police and a janitor.
By the way, a couple awesome Chicago police officers just dropped donuts off for you.
Oh, yeah, thank you, awesome officers.
Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate that. Was it Kevin?
Yes, it was Kevin.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah, he didn't know you weren't here.
Wait, so where you are right now, is that is that 24 hours or does it close?
Yeah. No, the state capitol is open in case anybody wants to get some work done. They do not, apparently. So, yeah. I'm kidding. They
could you... Yes, will they shoo you away if you just take a nap on a bench?
Well, I've wondered about that. Like, can I save money on hotel room and just get like a sleeping bag? Like, I'm in the media area and visiting media. I don't know who gets to have, I guess, bureau offices here. But yeah, I wondered about having like an air mattress, you know?
But what time would you have to like put that away? If you slept in the media area, what time do other people show up?
6 a.m.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of sleep.
Or just push yourself to the side so then they don't, you know, they'll be around, but you won't be in their way.
Hey, who's that person in the corner? Oh, that's Patty Vasquez. She does this all the time.
She's sleeping. Yeah. Keep your voice down.
I'll take up the whole area so that guy from Channel 7 can't have any access.
Sleep on that table.
Sleep on the table.
Right where he was before.
I'll post a picture of what my office looks like. I should take a picture of myself laying across these desks. But then everyone will be mad at me when they come in tomorrow. They'll see my Facebook picture of me just sprawled all over their desks. So bizarre. I have a question. I have an office question when it comes to cupcakes and stuff.
All right.
Yeah,
go ahead.
What do you think, like, what's the time limit on I mean, because I don't know how long the cupcakes have been in the House of Reps offices.
Oh, you should eat those.
Right? But I mean, like,
I mean, they have to be today, right?
You know what you do?
Yesterday.
Touch the frosting.
Okay.
Just eat it.
If it's hard.
No, just eat it. Even if it's hard, it's still okay.
Yeah, but that just tastes gross.
It doesn't, though.
Texture is all crumbly.
Oh, yeah. Crunchy frosting is the worst.
Frosting is just sugar, right? It still tastes like delicious.
It is, but
sugar.
If it hardens, it's ugh.
Just hard sugar.
Well, frosting could also have, I would imagine, have butter in it.
All right. Okay.
It depends, because if you get the Jewel cupcakes, you can just pop the frosting off because it hardens.
Oh, see, now we're thinking. Just take the frosting off. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Just scrape
it
off.
Eat the cake.
Eat it from the bottom.
Might be stale.
Yeah, I didn't plan my meals very well today, so all I've had so far is Dairy Queen.
Although I have seen the hack where you, I guess, so you rip the cupcake in half, the bread part. And then you make a sandwich.
Your message has reached the maximum.
She's not going to hold my cupcake hack.
No cupcake hack. I want to know your cupcake hack.
But yeah, then you put the frosting would be in the middle, and then it's like a sandwich.
Oh,
that's what I saw somewhere.
I like that.
And it's not as messy.
I don't know. Eating cupcakes that could possibly have been there since they could have been here, you know, since in the morning.
That's
it's
fine.
It's 24 hours. That's fine.
Yeah, they're just stale. That's the only
issue.
How do
you think they're that stale? Do cupcakes go stale that quickly?
I mean, the bread would.
Yeah, they get hard. They've been sitting out.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, you can still eat them.
I mean, can you go touch one? I want to know how hard they are.
Stick your finger in it and then just leave it there.
Before we're done, I really want to know how hard it is.
I have no way of getting up there while we're still on the air.
No.
I have to Facebook Live that for you.
Okay, good.
I could probably do that.
Stick your finger in it and then leave a note saying, I'm going to do this as long as there's no budget.
Oh,
by the way,
cupcakes.
I got a message from a listener that's an awesome building. Hey, if you want a ghost experience, because I was talking about how weird it would be to encounter a ghost, and yet kind of cool because I'm one of those people that would love to have a ghost encounter because then I would know they exist.
Yeah, I would not want to have one of those.
I would like a happy one.
Right.
There's no such thing as a happy ghost.
All right,
encounter.
Well, one that's not so bothered.
Oh, no, you're completely petrified. It's a ghost.
No, I mean, like, the ghost, whatever happened to it. Just the ones that don't get murdered, you know,
they're not
going to
be friendly. There is no Casper.
Yeah, but there's some that probably just are looking for someone.
Yeah, they're just caught in between planes of existence.
What, like a ghost that's going to tell us jokes and stuff?
No, I mean just the kind that, like, their back history is not so brutal and frightening.
Right. Right, and they don't get, like, a, you know, a horrible attachment to you so that they now have to be in your...
Because there's the ones that get angry. There's the ones that are
mad.
All
ghosts get angry.
No, they don't want you there, so then they try to get you out of there. Those are the ones you don't want.
They're also not a real person anymore. They're a ghost now, so they're upset by that.
Yeah, but you want the one that... Well, some don't know, right?
Well, that's not going to be a happy ghost.
They don't know that they're ghosts.
Right, that's a problem, too. It's very confused ghost.
That ghost doesn't know anything, and then when you try to play catch with him, he's going to figure stuff out and get very sad.
Why are you going to play catch with him?
I don't know. I usually play catch with strangers.
What?
Do you really?
No, I don't. No, I'm trying to win my argument, and I'm failing.
I mean, anyway, it would go right through them.
Right, so exactly.
Why would you even play
catch with a ghost? And then they figure out
they're
a ghost, and then everything's horrible.
Right. You've unraveled their reality.
Exactly.
They don't have one because they don't exist anymore.
Because no one's ever played catch with them.
It is 10 seconds past 2 o'clock.
Oh, this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNradio.com. Nick D is up next, and we'll be broadcasting tomorrow from spring. Well, no, I don't know how it's going to go, Craig. I don't think they're going to get anything done.